about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You know why I put you over?
No. Why did you pull me over?
Because I just want to say hi.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
That is adorable.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West. Adam West, Adam West.
Who's Adam West?
And now.
Oh, man. Oh. Man, I just farted and it stinks real bad. Oh, what did I eat? Hey, Lisa.
No. Our feature presentation.
Really?
Well, who knows what's going to work with Lisa? You know, you got to try a little bit of everything. Just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, maybe I'm kinky won't. And I like...
No, not that, Lisa.
Hot boxing.
No.
Whatever that's called.
Your Gerlach's putting his foot down. He's saying no.
You're classier
Thank
than that.
Thank you. Yeah. I do not like that. Do not do that.
No.
Thursday morning here on the Kevin Amin Show. Thanks so much for tuning in for yet another fascinating program. First of all, I want to say hi to Psycho Mike, by the way, who's up and listening today at 5:30 in the morning. How rare and unusual is that?
What is he doing? Did he tweet you or something?
He tweeted that it's been a long time since he's heard the show open on the Kevin Bean Show, so I don't exactly know what he's doing. But my guess is he hooked up with some chick on the internet last night, and she lived in, like, Riverside, so he's got a long drive home. That's what my guess is. I could be wrong about that. But anyway, so hi to Psycho Mike, and please come back. All right, so, and yes, that means to replace you again, Bill.
Oh, come on.
Let's start with this story here on a Thursday. There are two things in the news that caught my attention that both involved vibrating panties this week. Now, I have to be honest, that's something I don't spend much time thinking about.
We had a pair of those a couple of years ago, tried them out. Mm-hmm.
Yes. How were they? Did you like them?
They were okay.
They seem like a novelty that, look, I don't know anything about them, but to me it just seems like a novelty that would be more fun to imagine than to actually use.
They were just fun because there was a remote control, so the person that you were with could turn them on or off, which is kind of funny. But they weren't like a rocket ship to the moon or anything.
They're not going to replace what else you're doing.
Exactly.
I understand. Well, one thing I saw was an article from one of the Las Vegas blogs about amenities in Las Vegas and how they're just going off the charts with things that you can have sent up to your room now.
Mm.
And the Hard Rock Hotel has this this company that they're using with it's called Love Jones, where they have all sorts of sexy time stuff. So, you know, just like you order room service, you get a cheeseburger set up to the room. You can now get, you know, peekaboo bras and panties set up, feather spankers, fur handcuffs.
Oh, I got all that in my drawer. I don't need them.
Yeah, you pack it, right?
Yeah.
But in case, you know, you're traveling light and you don't bring your own, well, apparently the number one requested item out of the Love Jones section of the menu there at the Hard Rock Hotel is vibrating panties. That's the number one thing that people ask for from that, which I thought was interesting. And then I saw this, and I wish to God that there was a news story on this that I could get more information, or I had seen the episode. But Gloria Allred, she's that fame-chasing whore attorney who takes any case that'll get her on TV, right?
Yes, that's
right. Well, it's pretty low profile compared to, you know, Judge Joe Brown and Judge Judy and some of the other shows, but she does have a judge show that airs every day on TV in syndication. It's called We the People. I don't know if you've ever seen her or not, but what the hell?
I have.
What the hell is she doing that show for?
She's pretty low key on it too. I don't imagine people are, you know, it's more fun when they like lose their minds, but she doesn't seem like that.
No, she doesn't seem like that at all. It's a super boring show. Yeah. I've seen it a couple times, but she had a case in front of her that involved vibrating panties recently. And apparently what happened is this very nice lesbian woman had bought a bunch of sex stuff from this dude and an accident happened with the vibrating panties.
Ooh.
And she wanted her money back for the vibrating panties, saying that they had malfunctioned and turned themselves on at a bad time. And so he is suing her because she wants the money back. I don't know. It's very complicated. I only saw a brief synopsis of the show, so I don't know what the particulars are. But here she is in court, a brief clip of her describing to Judge Gloria Allred what went wrong with the panties.
First of all, I had a really nice evening planned for me and my girlfriend. And
I had steak, I had mushrooms going on, and for the dessert, we were having strawberries, and I forgot.
I'd like to point out, by the way, that as we always have to explain to Kevin and Bean listeners, there is a way to tell a story, and there's a way to not tell a story. And this woman is full on going back to when the earth cooled to set up her story of what happened with the panties, when she really could have started it, as we always tell you, about 15 seconds before whatever it is you're trying to describe happened. But no, we got to hear about the strawberries and the mushrooms and your girlfriend and everything.
To get the strawberries. So I had to run right down the street to get the strawberries. Now, mind you, I had the vibrating panties on, but I also had a pair of other panties underneath.
Now, what's the point of that, Lisa?
I guess you don't want to wash them.
Oh,
they might
that's
be.
What it is.
Yeah, that might okay. be an issue.
So you got panties underneath, and you got vibrating panties on top. Okay, gotcha.
So the vibrating panties were over that. To run out to the store, I just put on a pair of house shorts, and I ran out and got into my truck. Now, next thing you know, I'm driving down the street, and all of a sudden, I get. And I black out.
And what do you think did happen to you?
I believe the vibrating panties turned on by themselves.
By themselves is
and
what
And they
she
made
says.
You black out?
See, this is why what? I need more information. I want to know, did a car accident happen? I mean, what's the result of her blacking out? We don't know. I did a search. There's no story I can find online. There's just this brief clip of her in front of Judge Allred. So I'm dying to know what the rest of that story is and how the case was ruled.
If they electrocuted her or something, that would be a case. But if they turn on and she blacks out, that's not something you can anticipate.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if they electrocuted her, she'd be dead. But I think if they shocked her severely, that would be a different story. But blacking out, how is that a side effect of vibrating panties?
She's not much fun.
Yeah.
Every time you get close, she blacks out.
Although I'm going to start buying a lot of vibrating panties for lots of different girls if they black out, if you put them on them.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Give you a good 5 minutes, right?
That's my only chance.
One important factor being that I think we overlooked, what was she hot?
I don't think that's relevant here.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. She put on her house shorts and got in her pickup. So yes. I'm not thinking hot. What are house shorts?
I don't know. But
I don't have house
me,
shorts.
I would have sure brought it up if she were, Muggs.
Yeah.
So anyway, if anyone saw that particular episode of We the People with Gloria Allred, if you watched it when it aired recently, we'd love to have some more details on what happened after the vibrating panties. Is it possible that they turned themselves on? I mean, I guess it could happen with any electrical equipment, right?
I guess so. Or maybe her girlfriend had the control at home.
But if she was already driving to the store, it seems like she would, I don't know.
Yeah,
it
wouldn't
like
reach
the range
that far.
Can't be that far.
The range isn't that far. Yeah, that's true.
So we'd love to know if anyone has any more information on that story, because that sounds like a good one.
It sounds like BS is what it sounds like to me.
Well, of course, Gloria Allred took the case.
Right, exactly.
Brand new Kevin and Bean show straight ahead here on a Thursday, the 29th day of March.
Oh, no. Here comes the fun police. Put down your fun and stop having fun or you'll go to fun jail.
How dare you. Very excited about the show today, especially the first hour between 6 and 7. Check this out. We're going to talk to funny man Tim Minchin, who is a hilarious comedian who's on the bill with us for April Foolishness. It's just coming up a week from Saturday, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He is still overseas, but he is making his triumphant return to America to play our show. And he's great. So we'll talk to Tim coming up next hour. Matt Money Smith is going to be on. He is going to explain to us what's great about the Magic Johnson Group owning the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Excellent. People seem really excited.
People are really excited. It seems to have everything that they were looking for. We're also going to talk to a man who, just after 6 o'clock, and this is something you definitely want to stick around for, because if you're planning on buying Mega Millions tickets for tomorrow night's $500 million drawing, you're going to want to listen to this guy we have on as our guest, who has won big money lotteries 7 times and has written a book on how to increase your chances of winning the lottery. If you thought it was just random, Mr. Lustig, who we'll have on, says, no, there are things that you can do to increase your chances.
Ooh,
so that's good timing
exciting.
To have him on, right?
Okay, yeah.
Also, we're going to dip a little bit into the January Jones from Mad Men story about how she recently reported that she ate her placenta after she had her baby.
So breakfast, either way before or way after. I'm just telling you right now.
And what's that about? We're going to ask and find other ladies who have done the same. Mr. Movie Phone joins us on the show today. He's going to bring us up to speed with the latest on the controversial Bully movie and what his thoughts are on that. I think he's seen the movie, too. So it'll be interesting to hear from his perspective who this movie is appropriate for and who should be seeing it.
Yeah.
The beautiful Gillian Jacobs on the program today from Community. She's the hot blonde on the show,
she
don't
is
you know?
The hot blonde. Yeah, she's great.
She's so funny. Yeah. She's so funny. We love that show so much. And there is another new episode tonight that you must watch. And we're very excited to have her on the program today. I got a brand new internet roundup for you today. Plus, Dr. Drew joins us too. And Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. All that next, right after this on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman. You got a strategy for your Mega Millions tickets? You got a plan?
Oh, sure. I'm going to buy all the possible number combinations.
There you go. That's brilliant.
I'm figuring, yeah. What could that run me?
Plus bonus?
$200 million?
Maybe. But totally worth it.
But if I'm going to make five, that's a $200 million profit.
Just going to put it on credit card?
Yeah.
Assuming like you're the only winner, though.
Or maybe cash. Maybe
you might have to split it with 40 other people who have those numbers, too, remember.
40 other people.
Or whoever. However.
40 many. Other people. How many times do you hear people? 40 people winning the lottery.
Never.
I don't think we'll ever see as many people buy tickets as are going to buy tickets for this drawing tomorrow night.
Listen,
either.
You just worry about your side of the street, okay? Doctor, heal thyself. Don't worry about me. I'm good.
Bring all this up is we're going to talk to 7-time lottery winner Richard Lustig coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin DeBean Show, who has written a book, really more like a pamphlet, of how to increase your chances of winning the lottery. So I think this is something worth sticking around for with the big drawing.
Now, seriously, how many numbers do they pull out of? What's the gamut? It runs from 1 to what? 59,
usually it's like 49 or something like or 51 or something.
So let's say 1 to 49.
Okay. Right.
That's 49 numbers.
Don't ask me to do math.
Or 50, whatever it is. Okay. And what you do is you buy a series of numbers, random numbers, but you go through all of those numbers as the Powerball. So you buy 50. You buy 50 separate tickets. You can mix and match the actual numbers, but at least you have every one of the Powerball possibilities covered.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think that increases your probability, I think, because at least you'll have the Powerball. You have the magic number.
Right.
The Mega Million number, whatever that is. You have that, and then the other ones, you just got to roll the dice. But
and let me tell you why that actually makes a lot of sense, Ralph Garman. Not that I have to convince you because you said it, so you know it makes a lot of sense.
I thought it made sense, yes.
Is that there were 9 people just in California on the drawing earlier this week that had the first 5 numbers and not the Powerball.
See?
And they won $300,000 each. Had they just used your method and spent an extra $50 to buy the rest of the Powerball combinations, they would have won the big prize.
That's what I'm talking about.
That is what you're talking
That's
about.
That's why you won't see me after next week. Because okay. I have it dialed in and I'm going to win.
Well, you're going to be splitting it with me then, because I plan to win it as well.
No.
Bean would have to leave the island.
That's right.
It's not going to happen.
All right. Well, we'll talk to Mr. Lustig coming up. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it's just the best day ever. That's all it is.
Why?
Because now we have hope. Now we have faith. Now we have something to live for. Last night on Conan O'Brien, a gentleman by the name Ron Burgundy stopped by. Ron Burgundy, TV anchor and also master jazz flautist, came out playing a little jazz flute, and then he also had a little announcement to make to Mr. Conan O'Brien.
I want to announce this to everyone here in the Americas, to our friends in Spain, Turkey, and the UK, including England, that as of 0900 Mountain Time, Paramount Pictures and myself, Ronald Joseph Aaron Burgundy, have come to terms on a sequel to Anchorman. Oh.
I thought that was completely dead.
Anchorman 2's going to happen.
That is great news.
It sure is. Steve Carell and Paul Rudd are also back on board for the sequel. The old gang's getting back together again.
Awesome.
Will's producing partner, Adam McKay, said, it's happening. They're writing the script as we speak. They start shooting in February. So that's when we get the movie. Sometime next year, Will Ferrell stopping by Conan O'Brien to break the good news. I was shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, we were also shocked that they couldn't come together on terms to make this movie because it seems like a cash cow.
But it's been years.
It has.
And Paramount has been pretty steadfast. Of course, but Paramount was the problem. It wasn't those guys. Paramount was steadfast saying, no, we're not interested, and no one could understand it. And so much so that Adam McKay took upon himself to create a fake Paramount Twitter account where he's been just blasting them over the years for their stupidity. Every time they release a bad movie, he's like, oh, yeah, this is better than Anchorman 2. I'm glad we made this choice. Fake Paramount.
I think their argument was that it was not a big hit overseas and wouldn't be, and that's where they increasingly count on most of their money coming from.
Also, everybody's number has gone up since the original film. I mean, Steve Carell was not even a TV star at the time they made that film.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd, not much of a movie star now. Everybody's got bigger salaries, so the output of cash for a sequel would be considerably more than the first one, but I don't care. I don't care. When I win the power, when I win the Mega Millions, I'm going to make Anchorman 3.
You could be the producer.
I'm going to produce it myself. Yeah,
why not?
So it's great, great, great news. Bad news, Paris Hilton's in the news.
We haven't heard about her.
I know. That's why it's bad news. I thought maybe she
was breathing freely.
I thought maybe she died. But no, she's still around. Although it's kind of funny. She went to a club in Miami. She rolled up with five cars and dozens of an entourage. Security came out and they wouldn't let any of them in.
Really?
Apparently they didn't have tickets to this high-end night spot they were going to in Miami.
Oh, that's the best.
They only had a couple tickets, and she's like, well, they're all with me. I'm like, no. You have a ticket, that's fine, but all these douchebags are not getting in.
Excellent.
So Paris made sure that only one person in her entourage got special attention, her personal photographer. Apparently she has a photographer that just follows her around.
Oh, my God.
So Paris made her way inside along with her photographer, who took pictures of her while she danced in the DJ booth to make sure that that was documented.
God.
So that was covered.
Think you got a raw deal?
Yeah, I do.
You didn't. Today's the day. Lindsay Lohan heads back to what could be her final court date.
Mm-hmm.
Shows up for her final probation hearing. Wouldn't it be great if she was loaded and got into a car accident on the way to the court?
Would it be surprising?
It yeah. She has finished all of her commitments, all the L.A. County morgue time, the five therapy sessions that were required. She's got it all. So apparently she'll be off supervised formal probation for the first time in 4 years. She won't be under probation if everything goes well today.
Well, good.
She'll be under informal probation for the next 2 years, and then, of course, double secret probation for the 2 years after that. So.
What is informal probation?
I have no idea, but it sounds very ominous to me.
I think what that is if you get in this kind of trouble between now and the end of the informal probation, then there's problems.
You go back to formal probation.
Right, maybe so, yeah.
And then it's a Friday casual probation, I think it's the next step. And thanks to the Trayvon Martin shooting, 20th Century Fox has decided to pull all of its promotional materials for a new summer comedy movie called Neighborhood Watch.
Oh, wow. Bad timing, right?
Stars Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, and Jonah Hill.
Mm.
We are very sensitive to the Trayvon Martin case, says Fox. Now, here's the thing. The movie's about an alien invasion.
It looks funny, too. I saw
it. It does look funny. Has no relation whatsoever to the tragic events.
Are the aliens
Florida.
Wearing hoodies?
No, it's completely unrelated, but just to be on the safe side, Fox has decided to pull all the promotional materials. So you won't see any posters or trailers for Neighborhood Watch anytime soon. I think that might be overreacting a bit, but I'm sure there would be people out there who would point to it and say, how could you be so insensitive?
We know
I'm
some
sure
of
Al
those
Sharpton
groups.
Is one of them.
Yeah, right. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Eric Idle of the legendary Monty Python's Flying Circus, 69 years old today. Excuse me. Christopher Lambert, or Christopher Lambert, depending on where you live. Highlander, there can be only one. He's 55 years old today. Perry Farrell of Jane's Addiction turns 53. Elle McPherson is 49 Ooh. Years old today. Lucy Lawless, remember Xena, Warrior Princess?
Oh, yeah.
She was
She's
also
on Spartacus now.
Battlestar Galactica, and now Spartacus. Yes, 44 years old. And lovely actress Jessica Chastain from The Help turns 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
It's a crazy, ridiculously busy show here on the Kevin Bean Program on the World Famous K-Rock today, including more tickets for you for 311 and Slightly Stupid and the exclusive backstage barbecue with the bands. We're also going to talk to Matt Money Smith, our favorite sports guy, in a few minutes, talking about what this new Dodger ownership means, and comedian Tim Minchin, all coming up later this hour here on the World Famous K-Rock. Lisa, how many tickets are you planning on buying for the big Mega Millions tomorrow night?
I don't know. I haven't bought them up to now, but my boyfriend bought, I don't know, about 10 of them the other day. So
right.
I think I'm going to have to join in now.
Just, do you only buy fine. If it gets over $500 million? Is that your cutoff? Because it's not worth paying a dollar for a ticket if it's only $300 million?
You know what? I only buy it just because it's fun when everybody's so into it. That's the only reason, for the entertainment.
Well, before you buy your tickets, let's hear what Mr. Richard Lustig has to say. He's the guy we were talking about a few minutes ago who has won 7 big money lottery games and has written a book on how to help us win the lottery. Hey, Richard, should we even bother buying Mega Millions tomorrow, or are you already going to win this one?
It's all mine, so don't even bother your tickets. is there any you should buy.
We should. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like the old saying, you got to be in it to win it.
Right?
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah. Now, there are some people, you know, a lot of people who jump on board when the jackpots get ridiculously high. But your chances of winning are the same whether it's a $500 million prize or a $50 million prize, right?
Absolutely. Exactly the same.
Okay. How about, and I know you're not going to give everything away because that's why you've got a book that you're selling at winninglotterymethod.com. But how about this? What about the age-old argument of picking your own numbers versus letting the machine spit them out for you?
Okay. That's a perfect thing for you to bring up because I preach that all the time. Yes, do not play quick picks. And really? I know people listening to your show are saying right now, what do you mean don't play quick picks? I always play quick picks. Have you won yet? The meat of my method teaches people how to, just like the title of the book, learn how to increase your chances of winning the lottery. Folks, every time you buy a quick pick, you're not increasing your chances. They always remain the same, which is at the worst. So if you do play regular numbers, and you increase your chances by winning. But here's the thing. It's not the individual numbers that count, and that's what everybody's misled by. It's the set of numbers that you play that are important.
Okay, I'm trying to follow you here, but I'm not sure I understand why letting the machine pick the numbers is any different to increase or decrease your chances than me playing, you know, my kids' birthdays.
Because every time you buy a quick pick, you're getting a different set of numbers. Mm-hmm. The computer spits out a ticket for you, and they're always different. So your odds are always going to be, like, for instance, tomorrow night, the odds are 1 in 175 million of winning. Those are ridiculously high odds. So every time you buy a ticket, your odds are always 1 in 175 million. But okay. When you are playing your own numbers and you're playing them regularly, your odds, little by little, not a whole lot, but little by little, they decrease in your favor.
And that is because if we are to believe that lottery numbers are random, eventually all the numbers are going to come up. So if you keep sticking with the same set, eventually they're going to hit?
Yes. Now, it could be tomorrow, it could be next month, it could be 20 years from now, obviously. You know, there's no way to know. But again, there is a way to check, to do some research. And in my book, I explain how to do the research, and it's very, very simple to do. But if you do the research, you can determine if the set of numbers you're playing is a good set of numbers or a bad set of numbers. It has nothing to do with the individual numbers. It's the sets that are important.
That's interesting.
Are there any statistics that show how many people win with quick picks versus set numbers that they've been picking?
Yes, there are. And unfortunately, it's very misleading. Because if you check it out, you will find out that more people have won with quick picks than people who have played their regular set of numbers. But here's the misleading part about it. There's millions more people that buy quick picks versus the people that play their own set of numbers. When you look at the percentages,
Okay. It's
much higher in your favor playing your own numbers.
Plus, they're not playing the sets the way that you are suggesting.
That's probably what most people... Look, it's not that people are stupid. It's that people don't know how to play. And that's what I'm doing. I'm teaching people how to play. If you're going to build a house, okay, you've never built a house before, and a guy says to you, I can teach you how to build a house, and he's never built a house before, you're going to go, yeah, right. But if a guy says to you, I have built 7 beautiful homes, here they are, it's all proof, and I'm going to teach you how to build a house, you're going to listen to that guy. And my winning of 7 lottery game grand prizes is not a joke. This is not a scam. It's real. Anybody that wants to check me out, I want them to check me out. Florida Lottery website, check me out. It is all real, all registered.
And, Richard, your highest jackpot was what, almost $800,000, right?
Over $800,000. It was $842,000 and change. That was number 5.
How long has it been since you've won a big money jackpot?
About 13, 14 months ago was my last one. I win every day.
Are you due?
Oh, every day. You know, the 7 lottery game grand prizes is just that. They were grand prizes. I've won hundreds of thousands of dollars in non-grand prizes.
Unbelievable. Richard, is there any such thing as hot numbers, numbers that come up more frequently than statistically they should?
I love these guys out there. There are other guys that have books out there, okay? How to win the lottery, 87% guaranteed, blah, blah, blah. And what they do, I've run a computer algorithm program, and I know which numbers come up the most, numbers come up the least, and I can tell you what numbers to play. Folks, that's a bunch of hogwash, okay? Again, it's not the individual numbers that matter. It's the sets of numbers.
So Richard is like what the Moneyball guy, Billy Beane, was to baseball. He's trying to get us to look at picking lottery numbers from a completely different perspective. That's what's going on here.
Exactly.
Like.
Richard, how much money would you recommend people spend every week on the lottery?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that. Here's the deal. Listen, this whole week, the whole hype is about, of course, tomorrow night's big Mega Millions, jackpot. I mean,
right.
$500 million. $500 million. That's amazing. But here's the thing. My biggest advice I'm trying to get across America right now is, folks, don't get lottery fever. Don't spend more than you can afford. Do not spend grocery money. Do not spend rent money. Yes, buy tickets. Absolutely, buy tickets, because if you don't have any tickets, you definitely aren't going to win. But here's the thing everybody's got to remember. If there is a winner tomorrow night, there's only going to be one winner, maybe two or three, and they'll split the pot. But think about it. That means there's going to be millions of people that are not going to win. So don't wake up Saturday morning and be the guy who didn't win, and now he's got to figure out how the heck he's going to replace that money he spent that he couldn't afford to spend.
Okay, but is there like a minimum amount that
No, there's no minimum amount.
Okay.
So buying one ticket is, that may be sufficient, obviously, if it's the right number.
Right. You can, yes, if you buy one ticket, yes, you have a chance of winning. If you buy 10 tickets, you're going to have a better chance. If you buy 1,000 tickets, you're going to have a much better chance. But again, it depends on what you can afford. Don't worry about how many tickets Joe Blow down the street is buying. Don't worry about how many tickets Richard Lustig is buying. Maybe we can afford more than you. Don't worry about what other people are spending. Worry about what you can afford to spend. I'm so emphatic about this because I'm really trying to get this message across, because people have a tendency to spend more money than they really can afford.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yes, one more, Lisa. Then we got
to
go.
Yeah. If I were to buy your book today, would I be able to read it and absorb everything to get my tickets tomorrow?
No. Okay. My method is an ongoing process. The people who have already bought my book and have been following my method have a much better chance of winning tomorrow night than people who have not been following my method yet.
Okay.
One of the testimonials from somebody who did buy your book, and I'm assuming this is true, is a couple that won a $2 million jackpot after reading your book, Richard?
Absolutely. On my website, winninglotterymethod.com, there's a page that people can click on. It's what people are saying about my method. These are real testimonials from real people, not just a bunch of garbage we made up to sell my book. And yes, that's one of the testimonials. But even better than that, I have a couple in Iowa. The wife saw me on one of the TV interviews I did. She goes running into the other room and says to her husband, honey, I just saw this guy on TV, and he's won the lottery a bunch of times, and he's written a book. It tells you how to play. And of course, the husband, like most husbands would do, yeah, whatever, don't bother me, I'm watching my game. She went out and bought my book anyway. Guys, they followed my method for 3 to 4 months, and they hit a $9 million jackpot.
Whoa.
Crazy. Look, not everybody who buys your book is going to win the lottery, but it sounds like it's worth a try. What's $40, right, if you're really playing for big money here?
I mean, think about it. Even if you win some small winnings, you're going to get your money back.
Absolutely. Yeah. WinningLotteryMethod.com. That is the name of the website, WinningLotteryMethod.com. You can follow Richard on Twitter, too, at Lustig. That's L-U-S-T-I-G 407. Glad we had you on, man. Good luck tomorrow night.
Hey, luck has nothing to do with it.
Thanks
guys,
for joining us, Richard.
This has been a blast. And you know what? Let's do it again when I win number 8.
It's a deal. Okay. Thanks, Richard. 1 week from Saturday night, Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2012 is happening at the Gibson Amphitheater. Of course, completely sold out. We'll talk to Tim Minchin, who is on the bill, coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, let's talk baseball.
So I say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S.
Matt Money Smith on the phone with us right now. How are you, dude?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good.
You're probably calling to congratulate me on the Seattle Mariners being tied for first place in the American League West right now, I would imagine. Right, Money?
I will take $49.55.
All right. Let's actually talk about the Dodgers, who apparently, if this deal goes through, and there's no reason to suspect it won't, will topple the all-time record that has ever been paid for a sports franchise. Are the Dodgers worth $2 billion?
Well, the simple answer to that is yes, because somebody paid it.
Yeah.
So they are officially worth $2 billion. Dollars. I'll just kind of truncate the diatribe I went on yesterday, and you know this, and people in the business that we do know this, is that people pay for content, and there is no greater value in the world of content than live sports, because people, it's the only appointment-based viewing left in the world. Because
and it's irreplaceable.
Content is not distributed. Exactly. You know, because you can find the score out in a text or a tweet or something, you've got to watch games live. So people are paying, entities are paying through the nose to own those properties. And the Lakers are really the team that got it started. You know, and when Tim Harris negotiated that $5 billion deal with Time Warner for the Lakers, it completely changed the game. And look what happened. There's a residual of that. You know, think about the Angels and where they sat in the hierarchy of Los Angeles sports. And this was before Albert Pujols was signed. $3 billion for the Angels, right?
Yeah.
You know, a team that would probably slot somewhere between 5th and 7th of importance in the city of Los Angeles. $3 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that there were a lot of groups that were interested, several that were high profile and had the possibility to really get the team. But this looks to me on paper, Money, and I'm no expert. This looks like the best fit. This is a dream team. They've got their bases covered. They got a fantastic front man with Magic Johnson that the community already loves. They got the baseball guy from the Braves who apparently knows something about winning championships. They've got deep money guys. It seems like they've got everything they need to make this work.
Here's what I think is the most impressive, right? In an era where we know owners, we know their personalities, you know, Robert Sarver of the Suns, Dan Gilbert of the Cavs, these guys want to be in the front. They bought the team, I should be the star, it's my money. This guy, Mark Walters, scratched out a check, signed on with Magic Johnson, knowing that when he rescued the Dodgers for this city, for the fans, his name would be an afterthought. And that tells me a lot about his ego, about what he's looking for, because he knew that people would report, oh, Magic Johnson saved us. He's our savior. Magic Johnson owns the Dodgers. And Mark Walters, just a guy who's been entrusted to make $125 billion of other people's money work and earn them money. And he invested in Stan Kasten, the baseball man that built the Braves and took them to the playoffs 13 out of 15 years, and then the Nationals and helped put them on the map, to do exactly that for his $2 billion. These are the two guys that are going to make my money back and make the Dodgers, you know, take the Dodgers back to the level where they belong, which is as a civic treasure in the city of Los Angeles.
Look, I know that baseball fans just want the Dodgers to win. I mean, it's been decades since they've won a World Series, and that's the goal for fans. But, you know, if you're these guys who now own and will be running the club, it's pretty easy to make the Dodgers profitable, right? It's a win-win even if they don't win the World Series.
Yeah, because you know what? Last year, if you ever went to a Dodger game last year, it was weird. I mean, it was empty. You had day games where they had 8,000 people in a 56,000-seat stadium, and we'd never seen that in a long, long time. I mean, this was the franchise that just shattered attendance records, that crossed the 4 million barrier. It's a massive stadium that can seat a lot of people, and they love the Dodgers. And you know what? Instead of having Frank McCourt walk the concourse, you're now, you know, we talked to Andre Ethier yesterday, and he said, it's just going to be weird. I'm going to step out into the on-deck circle, and I'm going to look over my right shoulder, and in that first seat on the right side of our dugout, I'm going to see Magic Johnson. I'm going to see Magic Johnson, and he's going to go up, and he's going to get a hot dog, and while he's standing in line, he's going to be taking photos with fans and walking the concourse and shaking hands. That's the guy that's going to be doing that job now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, you can't, like I said, he's beloved. I mean, he's, if anything, he's increased in stature since he stopped playing professional basketball. This guy could be mayor if he wanted. He could be governor of the state if he wanted.
That wouldn't be a bad thing. I mean, have you ever been to a Magic Johnson's TGI Fridays? They're better than the other TGI Fridays.
See, there
he
you
just
go.
He knows how to do it.
We're talking to Matt Money Smith here on the Kevin Bean Show. In our remaining moments, you can hear a lot more of this kind of conversation on the Petras and Money Afternoon Show on AM 570. So we all know, even with the best of intentions and even with a lot of money, there's a little bit of magic, a little bit of luck involved in getting a winning baseball team. Do these guys have a plan, and is it going to help at all this season, or are they going to be able to start getting their hooks into it for future seasons after this one?
Well, I mean, just to kind of try to give you as exciting a baseball profile as I can about Stan Kasten, he builds on starting pitching. That's what he did in Atlanta when he signed Greg Maddux away from the Cubs for what at the time was just a boffo deal. And people couldn't believe he paid that much money. Maddux anchored his rotation. He drafted guys like Avery and Glavin and Smoltz, and that's how they became dominant. Well, the Dodgers already have their Greg Maddux and Clayton Kershaw. So look for Kasten to build around that and build around starting pitching. And you know what? They already have, I mean, look, they have the best pitcher in baseball. I believe that wholeheartedly in Clayton Kershaw. You would not trade him for any one-on-one swap. You would not trade that guy for any player in baseball. Not Albert Pujols, nobody, because he's a 22-year-old dominant pitcher. And so you have that. And then you have arguably, you know, one of the five best position players in the league in Matt Kemp, a legit 40-40 threat that's almost impossible to find to build around. So now you have a foundation in your lineup, a foundation in your rotation, and that certainly makes things a lot easier. Now, they have to fill in some pieces, and I expect they will, but that's a pretty darn good place to start.
Well, they're going to have some happy players on the bench this year, and that's going to contribute just to the overall atmosphere. Like you said, it was not only weird for the fans last year at Dodger Stadium, it was weird for the players, too, because there were so many distractions and everything. Now they're just going to be able to concentrate on having a good time and winning. So it sounds great, right?
Absolutely. No, it could not have turned as bad as it was I mean, it is 180 degrees, other side of the spectrum. It is so, this is an ideal situation. This was the group that needed to win that auction. This is the group that all the fans wanted to win the auction. And it's going to be a pretty cool, I mean, it's going to be a great vibe around Dodger Stadium this year with Magic Johnson rolling around.
Very exciting. And I know you've been in sports for a long time, Money. As I say goodbye, I saw the look on your face when you tweeted that picture from spring training the other day of you and P standing there with Tommy Lasorda. It's still a thrill to be around that dude, isn't it?
He's the best. I mean, especially he's the best. When you're sitting in the Dodgers spring training facility and he's in his Dodgers uniform. It's the best. It's baseball. It's what it is.
PetrosandMoney.com is the website. Follow them on Twitter at Petros and Money and check them out every weekday afternoon starting at 4 at AM 570. Thanks, Money. Appreciate the time, dude.
Anytime.
Greg Irby from Anaheim just won tickets for 311 and Slightly Stupid August 24th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater and the Backstage Barbecue with both bands. We've got those for you all week here on the Kevin Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Get your details at krock.com. So, Lisa, week from Saturday, April Foolishness.
And I have good news for you. I am on vacation starting the following week, so you know what that means.
That means you're going to be drinking heavily that night and will be incoherent when you introduce someone on stage.
I don't want to make any promises, but anything could happen.
Anything could happen. Put them on the glass. Well, it's going to be a fantastic night. This is the fourth year that we've done the Foolishness, raising lots of money for the Wounded Warrior Project and our friends at Cedars-Sinai Maxine Dunnett's Children's Health Center, NICU. And it's crazy. As I look at this lineup, Eddie Izzard, Jay Moore, Bob Saget, Jim Jefferies, Eddie F., Brad Williams, Larry King, Felipe Esparza, all on the bill, all have been on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know who hasn't?
Who?
Tim Minchin.
That's true.
Tim Minchin has never been on the Kevin and Bean Show, yet he is one of the featured acts at April Fool's just a week from Saturday. We could not be more excited to welcome Mr. Minchin to the program for the first time, and I believe he comes to us from Austria today. Tim, how are you, my friend?
Hi, I'm hanging 20 meters above the snow in a chairlift.
You literally are sitting in a chairlift getting ready to ski in the Austrian Alps right now. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't want anyone to think this is my sort of general lifestyle. I'm here doing a gig, and someone strapped a snowboard to my feet a couple of days ago. And coming from West Australia, that's not something I've done very often, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's too good an opportunity to pass up. And you're in the middle of what I understand from your Twitter feed is just a crazy schedule where you're going to London and then Munich and then New York and then L.A. You're just all over the map for the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit stupid. I'm not quite sure how it worked out, but I guess it's because I have to do your show, which I'm pretty excited about. So I got to be in L.A. in a few days. But, I didn't organize it very well. I had to go to Washington, D.C. and then Austria. But I can't wait to be there. It's going to be great.
When Tim Minchin is in town for the April Foolishness show a week from Saturday, he's also going to build around that a couple of sold-out shows at the Largo. You're also going to be performing at Amoeba Records, and you've got all this stuff on your website, timminchin.com. I kind of feel like, I know you've played in America before, but I kind of feel like this is the beginning of you kind of taking it seriously, releasing your first CD and DVD here, and finally trying to crack this market.
Yeah, I've been just sort of dabbling a bit, but last year I did, 20 or 30 dates all round as theatre dates, and I just can't. It's even though I understand the power of YouTube and all that, I can't tell you how surprising it is to turn up in Mesa, Arizona, or St. Louis, and find 500 people there to watch you. Like, it's completely weird, and so it gave me a realization that there are people in the States who know about my work and want to see me live. So I'm trying to get there a bit more, but I tour a lot in the UK and Australia, so it's tough.
I've also found it really interesting, Tim, because I'm not the least bit funny, but I'm a real fan of and a student of comedy. I've seen you interview where you talk about how there are some real differences playing for American audiences versus playing for Australian and British audiences when you get into some of those controversial topics like evolution and things like that.
Yeah, it's weird because in a lot of ways, people overestimate how different American humor is from British and Australian. Much of my stuff, I don't really change my material, and I still get really good responses, But there's no doubt that when I first started coming to America, I thought, oh, God, the sort of Jesus stuff and the evolution stuff is going to be really interesting, and I thought I might get a lot of oohs and ahs. But it's actually the opposite, because the people who come to my show know exactly what they're coming for. And so when I play in the States, the reaction to that kind of confronting the pious kind of ethics of the God-fearing people, they whoop and cheer like you wouldn't believe. It's like a sort of like a church service, really.
Right. I think people are going to be surprised that haven't seen you before, how musical your show is. I mean, did it start out that way? Were you always a guy who kind of did a lot of your comedy behind a keyboard or playing a guitar or something like that? Or did that come to you later after you had done traditional stand-up first?
No, it's quite the opposite. I'm a musician. I've been playing gigs and writing music for theater and writing songs for 15 years. I only discovered comedy about 5 or 6 years ago. And I guess it's a bit more now, in my late 20s. And yeah, and it just took off. So I basically binned all my serious songs and stuck with all the satirical stuff and got myself a career that way, you know. So I'm absolutely a musician first. And my shows are concerts, you know. They're proper big concerts. And in the UK and Australia, I've been playing with symphony orchestras and stuff. But I love playing in the US at the moment because it's so good to just get back to me and a piano. Having said all that, people laugh and stuff as well, so it's obviously comedy too, I think.
We're talking to our friend Tim Minchin here on the show on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, is playing the April Foolishness gig a week from Saturday. I love that you have said that as a musician, you're a good stand-up comic, and as a comedian, you're a pretty good musician.
Yeah.
But you're doing both well, and I had a lot of trouble when I wanted to pull a clip from one of your YouTube routines. I wanted to pull a clip to play for the audience. It's very difficult to trim you down to pull something that's like a minute that I could play on the radio because your stuff is so long form and it just develops throughout the course of telling a story and everything. I mean, people really get invested in your stories and it's kind of hard to it's not a punchline show.
No, I'm glad you kind of noticed that because some people just go ahead and pull a minute out anyway and say, oh, he said the word boobs in that bit. That'll get a laugh. But it you know, because my songs kind of tend to have long reveals and my stories tend to be kind of ranty and stuff. And also, of course, the content's pretty, you know, some of the content's pretty strong. So it's always a battle trying to find small bits of material to do for, you know, radio and TV and stuff. But, you know, there's enough there, I think.
Well, you're going to have a great time on our show. You know, we've had some of the best comedians working today do our show over the years, and they all walk away from it going, man, what a fantastic audience. You know, they love me from the minute I walked on stage. It's 6,000 people strong. They are there to laugh. And I don't know what you think about this lineup, but having you on the bill along with, you know, Jay Moore and Eddie Izzard and Jim Jeffries, it's going to be a great night, Tim.
It's going to be incredible, and I've been really looking forward to it. I've heard so much about the gig. And, yeah, you book these gigs, and then someone came to me a couple of weeks ago and told me the lineup, and I sort of almost, vomited with nerves. It's pretty scary playing with those guys. But having said that, I've been doing it for a little while, and I know a lot of those guys as well. So, and also, you know, I play a piano, so I'll be a bit different anyway.
Absolutely. Listen, don't die snowboarding or anything crazy like that, because we want to see you the weekend after next.
I'll survive one more week. I'll put any snowboarding-based death off until after the gig.
Follow everything going on with Tim, including the other upcoming shows in Los Angeles at timminchin.com. We'll see you soon, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much. Great timing. I'm just getting off the lift.
Oh, perfect.
Bye-bye now. Thanks, Lisa. How about that Tim Minchin there, Ralph Garman?
He was great, mate.
Yeah,
well, how
I know.
Are you?
Did you hear the mate at the
end?
Oh,
sweet Jesus. It's not bad enough that Americans are thought as douchebags throughout the world, but when you try to sound like the people you're talking to and adopt their costumes.
Thank you,
customs,
wasn't trying to sound like anything. It just came out.
I never think it's a hear you say that otherwise.
Oh, he says it all the time.
Does he?
Yeah, when he comes down to do the show, he goes, hey, mate. Hi, Lisa, mate.
I say it all the time.
Kevin, mate. How you doing, Ralph, mate?
I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't think about it. It's just one of those
you
things.
You obviously didn't think about it. Obviously. You would have said, that would sound incredibly douchey.
I was born and grew up in Britain, and it doesn't take very much for some of that to come back.
Yeah.
For that to come back. When my mother was alive,
when did you leave England?
I moved to America when I was 15. But listen, when my mom was alive and I used to go visit her in Las Vegas, I don't visit her as much now that, you know, she's dead.
Say hi, Blackjack.
It would take like 30 seconds of being there to start talking like her because it just comes back to you. There's nothing you can do about it, Ralph. I apologize.
We always hear your British accent when you're on the air. It's very, very easy for you to fall back.
It wasn't about me. The reason I brought it up was to say I'm so excited about Tim Minchin being
here because
I think people are going to love him who have not seen him before.
I am excited to see Tim Minchin so I can apologize.
And it was fun to talk to him. them. Yeah. All right. Eating your own placenta.
Nope.
Better than eating somebody else's, but we're going to discuss that. It is in the news thanks to January Jones coming up in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, mate?
Do you chew up your own placenta and then feed it to your kid from the mouth?
Well, that would really be the one-two punch, right?
I bet that's what Alicia Silverstone does.
Is that just the hippie to the 20th degree?
Maybe.
Freaking hippies with their love beads and their lava lamps and their beanbag chairs. I've had enough of them. Yeah, and their free love and their peace pot and micro dot. Enough.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Freaking be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
Freaking hippies. Good news, ladies. Bradley Cooper single again.
Is he?
Yeah, who Lisa, you got with? Your shot. Zoe Saldana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How does he let her go?
After a lengthy 3-month relationship, apparently they have gone their separate ways. So Bradley's back out there in the market.
Excellent.
Get your bids in now, ladies. Get your name on that list. I believe the sign-up sheet is at the Standard on Sunday. If you want to go down there and put your name on the list, you can check it out. Last night, Conan O'Brien had Will Ferrell on, friend of the show. He was just in here talking about his Casa de Mi Padre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even bother. I didn't even bother in the course of the interview to bring up the possibility of Anchorman 2 because that question has been asked and answered for years
yes.
now. Paramount's not interested. We'd love to do it, but Paramount right. is not interested in doing Anchorman 2.
He's got to be tired 2. Of answering
right.
the question.
Right, so I figured, well, let's not be those people who bring that up again. Even though listeners were emailing and posting on the Facebook and Twitter that we should. Little did I know that he'd come out last night on Conan O'Brien as Ron Burgundy, blowing some crazy jazz flute, and then make this announcement.
I want to announce this to everyone here in the Americas, to our friends in Spain, Turkey, and the UK, including England, that as of 0900 Mountain Time, Paramount Pictures and myself, Ronald Joseph Aaron Burgundy, have come to terms on a sequel to Anchorman.
Oh. Go.
Come on.
I had no idea Ron's middle name was Joseph Aaron.
No.
I did not know that. So, Anchorman 2 in the works. Apparently, the script is being written as we speak. Come February 2013, they'll start shooting the film, and then we can look forward to it sometime later next year. So,
we'll see you soon, mate.
Yeah, mate. Steve Carell, Paul Rudd, and Dave Koechner all returning. The entire newsroom cast will be yeah. back together again, so I'm looking forward to it so very much. Mate. And Tyra Banks wants everyone to know she has graduated from the Harvard Business School's intensive program.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
She says it feels amazing to say that she graduated from Harvard. Amazing. She's a Harvard grad, everyone.
Oh,
everyone
okey-dokey.
Needs to know she went to Harvard. It's amazing. Yeah. The only person I know that releases a press release when they graduate from a school, Tyra Banks. We get it. You're very smart and you're very talented, Tyra. Mm-hmm. She said, don't expect her, though, to spend a lot of time in the boardroom because she expects to hear the pitter-patter of little feet sometime soon.
Oh, no.
Apparently, she's banging a midget. So she's going to eat his placenta and then spit it back into his mouth.
Isn't that insane?
It is.
Is that not crazy?
It's crazy and insane. It's all those things. And Kate Winslet's finally going to get a chance to attend the Titanic premiere.
Why didn't she go the first time?
She didn't go to the L.A. or London premieres 15 years ago when the movie first came out.
What a bitch.
No, it wasn't it wasn't her choice. Apparently, for the L.A. premiere, she was mourning the death of her ex-boyfriend, Stephen, who had passed away at the time.
I withdraw the bitch remark.
I appreciate that. And then in the London premiere, she was hospitalized with dysentery.
Jeez.
That is taking method acting a little bit too far when you come down with dysentery, which I don't think anyone's had since the Titanic.
Yeah, pretty much.
So she was able to walk the red carpet last Sunday night with James Cameron and Billy Zane for Titanic 3D when they premiered that. So congratulations to her.
We talk about sometimes how there are some movies that are a moment in time and they don't hold up. And you're not that interested in seeing them 10 years later, or in this case, I guess 15 years later. Yeah. What about Titanic? I have not gone back and watched that movie since the year it came out.
I have never seen the film in its entirety.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
Yeah.
I'm really tempted to go back and see it in 3D.
Never saw it in the theaters.
Why didn't you,
I
Ralph?
Saw it twice in the theaters.
And, it got great reviews. It was a big hit. Why didn't you go?
It was just one of those things that got past me. I don't know what was going on in my life at that time, but I just never got around to it. And I saw bits and pieces on television, but I've never seen it from beginning to end.
Are you at all interested?
I think I am.
I remember it being good, but I don't know how it would hold up.
I've heard great things about it. It's just one of those things I never had a chance to sit through. Well, it is 7 hours long. You have to keep that in mind.
It is 7 hours
long. I've never been able to dedicate that much time to a movie, but I think now that it's back in theaters, I will go check it out.
Yeah. And I think it won the Academy Award for Best Picture that year.
I believe it did. Look, I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying I haven't gotten around to it. So here's my chance. I can see it in 3D. I can see Kate Winslet lounging naked on a couch in 3D.
Yep, that's not bad.
I can't wait. And I get to watch Leonardo DiCaprio die in 3D. Spoiler alert.
Boat sinks? What?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Chastain of The Help is 31 years old today. Actress Lucy Lawless. She was Xena, the warrior princess. Then she was on Battlestar Galactica as one of the Cylons. And now she's on that show, Spartacus.
We'll see you soon, mate.
She's 44 years old today. We'll see you soon, Lucy. No bell for Lucy, by the way.
What do you think?
She gets a bell.
She gets a bell. Yeah. Okay. Remember when she was Battlestar? She was sitting in that slime all the time. That was hot. I like her.
A few years ago, but okay.
I like her when she's slimy. Elle McPherson. I like her when she's slimy, too. She's 49 years old today. Perry Farrell of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction turns 53. Christopher Lambert, or Christopher Lambert, if you're in his home country. He was the Highlander.
He was hot.
He still is, Lisa. He's dreamy. There can be only one. He's 55 years old. And comedian Eric Idle. You probably know him best from Monty Python's Flying Circus, but he's also a very talented Broadway impresario now. He put together Spamalot. He is 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
K-Rock's countdown to Coachella, because without us counting it down every day for you on the radio, you'd probably miss it. You just oversleep. And just
I'm
going
to go buy tickets today. I'm going to go get some. Thank God you're counting it down. I'm going to go buy some tickets.
That.
Thanks for the countdown, because you reminded me that I need to buy my tickets.
So super great. Sold out, Ralph.
What?
Actually, it's just 15 days away.
Then why are you taunting me with a countdown if I can't buy tickets?
Very annoying, right?
You're an ass.
Every weekday at 5, be caller 106.7, and win your tickets for 3-day passes today at 5. Get the details at KRock.com.
That sounds like a promotional gimmick to me.
Let's talk about January Jones for just a moment. She is TV's Betty Draper, who was conspicuously absent in episode 1 of the new Mad Men season this week.
Because she's all prego.
Because she's all married to another dude.
And well, while they're filming it, though, she was very pregnant, so she couldn't be on the set.
I heard she might show up on this week's episode. I'm very excited to see what they do with Betty Draper this season.
They said they will dribble her throughout.
She is in the news because she is a real-life mom, as Ralph mentioned. She was pregnant while they were filming, and now she has a baby. And she did an interview where, well, let me see. Let me find the quote. She's talking to People's Magazine, talking about the biggest challenge of being a new mom and still working was exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to work long days and then go home and not sleep. It's getting harder, not easier, so I'm a little concerned.
Yes.
So she's basically bitching about, you know, her life, because she's the only working mom ever.
She had to lose all that weight because she's got to look good on screen.
Exactly. Yeah. Jones' secret to staying high energy through the grueling shooting schedule? I have a great doula who makes sure that I'm eating well with vitamins and teas and with placenta capsulation.
What?
You read that right. January Jones is eating her own placenta. Your placenta gets dehydrated and made into vitamins, she explains. It's something I was very hesitant about, but we're the only mammals who don't ingest our own placentas. She has taken the capsules every day since right after she had her son, and also anytime she feels tired or down. She insists it's not witchcrafty or anything. I suggest it to all moms.
Well, this isn't nearly as heinous as I originally thought it was.
No, we thought she fried it up in a pan.
Yeah. she was mixing with chorizo and scrambled eggs and having it for breakfast.
She does have a good point, although I would imagine eating your placenta would be something you would want to do immediately after the birth and have it
when
all.
It's nice and juicy.
Because that's when you would be most depleted of everything. And I know organ meats are extremely healthy for you, full of minerals and vitamins, much more than just regular meat of any sort.
And that's why people like to eat kidney and liver and things like that. Okay, we should back up one step for the many Kevin and Bean listeners who maybe haven't been through a pregnancy to explain what placenta is. Ralph, you may be the best person for this.
Yeah, you had a baby.
Really?
People may not even know what the word means, though, and I want to make sure they get the full effect of how awesome this is.
The placenta is the nutrient-rich birth sac that surrounds the fetus in utero.
There you go.
So it's
a tasteful way to say it.
Filled with blood vessels, and it's a membrane that carries a lot of nutrients from the mother to the baby, along with, of course, the umbilical cord and everything. But it's a sac that envelops the baby that's full of nutrients and blood and minerals and all kinds of good things, reportedly.
Obviously.
So, generally, most women, the vast majority of women, after they have the baby, they dispose of the placenta as part of cleaning up the kid right after birth. They just throw it away.
Discarded. Yes. For the most part. Now, January Jones is right. And in the wild, I mean, when a bitch will have her puppies.
Or cubs or whatever she has.
I think they're puppies. She will clean them off with her mouth and eat the placenta that was surrounding them, largely because they're animals. And that's what they do. They also eat each other.
And poo.
They eat all kinds of effed up things that we don't eat. January.
Is January eating her own poop now, too?
I don't know.
Maybe I've seen puppies do that.
Maybe she has it dried and then puts it in capsules and takes poop capsules when she's feeling dehydrated and exhausted.
We want to take some calls from Kevin and Bean listeners on this topic of eating your own placenta. And I think although we've been doing this show a long time, I believe this is the first time we've ever thrown open the phones for this one.
I think Lisa's got a point that it seems like if you're going to dry it out and grind it into a fine powder and put it in capsules and everything, are you really getting the benefits of what
you have
supposedly
a couple of capsules
you're going to get?
A day. It can't be much of anything.
I agree because, you know, so many things you cook, even just cooking them, takes all the vitamins and minerals out of them sometimes. Right. So what would the process going the placenta going into capsules, what would that do to it? I think you might be onto something.
I don't know the science of it, but it seems like if you're going to eat your placenta, just eat it raw, just gnaw on it in the delivery room like a hungry wildebeest.
So maybe she's getting a psychosomatic benefit from it because she thinks it's making her feel better, therefore it does. Maybe that's what's happening here.
Perhaps.
But the number is 1-800-520-1067. If you have eaten your placenta or have a comment on this, I want to hear from you.
If you're eating it now, please call in. We'd like to hear.
I'd like to know what wine you pair it with. I'd like to know.
Yeah, is that a red or a white? Do you guys know?
I would go with red.
I think it would be red. I think it's a red meat, I'm thinking.
But let me just...
Unless you have a fishy placenta.
Ignore that and then hone in on this aspect of the story. That is, her defense is, she says, hey, again, we're talking about January Jones from Mad Men. She says, hey, all the other animals do it. Why don't we? Right. I think it's a good idea. They should do it. Is it possible? And I don't know. She could just be a crazy lady. But is it possible that the only reason humans don't do it is because we have the ick factor and we put a lot of other things in our minds about that? And it is a completely natural and healthy thing to do. And we've just stopped doing it because it seems creepy.
Well, I doubt that it's unhealthy.
Yeah, probably not unhealthy. You're right. But I also think that humans have other sources for nutrients and proteins and things that a nursing mother needs. They have other ways to get that over years and thousands of years of evolution versus wild animals who don't have access to Yoplait yogurt and peanut butter and things that,
grocery stores,
for example. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have to go out and hunt our own food to get all the nutrients we need because we can take a vitamin. That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, if you deliver a baby, they bring you on a tray a meal afterwards. they probably don't do that to a bear in the woods, so the mama bear needs that immediate boost of nutrition and stuff to keep her cubs healthy.
All right, let's talk to Irme first. She's on line one, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Irme, you were the first person to call through when we started talking about eating your own placenta. Is this something you have done?
No, I did it for my best friend.
Okay.
You prepared the placenta for your best friend?
I did. When she was giving birth, we told the doctors we wanted to keep it. When the baby was born, I signed for it. I took it home. I steamed it. I sliced it up, then I baked it. It was like a dehydration thing. Uh-huh. So I put it in the oven for 200 degrees for like 9 hours.
So you made placenta jerky?
Yes. And then I ground it up for her. And I didn't want to do the top thing because it was really messy. And I didn't want to deal with the cleanup because I already had it in my lungs from all the grinding and all of that.
But how did she eat ground up placenta? How did she get that down?
Smoothie? Oh, no. Did you make a smoothie?
It was really, really powdery. So she would mix it up with drink. The bigger chunks, which I couldn't grind. So she tried to eat them like as bacon on a salad, but that was really gross.
Bacos on a salad.
This is bizarre. The way she describes it sounds like she was trying to bury a body or something, you know? Couldn't get the big chunks down in the grinder.
They say that it keeps the baby blues away, so that's why she did it.
Oh, really?
But
it helps with
but
depression?
But what about what Lisa asked, which is once you process it so much, especially in your case, Irme, if you cooked it for 9 hours, could there have been any nutrients left in that thing?
Well, there are nutrients in jerky.
Yeah, well, you dehydrate it, so proteins. I just did it for her.
Unbelievable.
You're you're a placenta chef.
I should write a book.
You are too good a friend, I am telling you.
You're the Gordon Ramsay of placentas.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Amber, you hang on. Jessica, you hang on. Even Matt has a story. We're taking your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. More on this, because you can't wait to come back and hear the thrilling conclusion to this conversation on the Kevin DeBee Show.
Who's hungry?
I'll carry you home tonight.
Fun. That's not going to catch
it
on.
It is. All the kids are doing it.
It's not the same as hey.
All the kids are doing it.
Band is called Fun Period here on the Kevin DeBee Show. Speaking of fun periods, we're talking about eating your placenta, ladies and gentlemen. TV's Mrs. Betty Draper, actress January Jones, said she did it, and it has kind of started a conversation about should you do it. And we're talking to ladies who have at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Katie here. She's on line three. She has lots of experience with lots of women. You are a midwife. Is that right, Katie?
Yes, I am.
And is this eating a placenta, is this still a thing that contemporary people do? Or if you do, are you pretty much an oddball at this point?
I would say if you're, it's becoming more and more common. I'd say about 80% of the women that I see in our center, I work at the Sanctuary Birth and Family Wellness Center on the west side, about 80% of them either do it or consider doing it or do something similar to placenta encapsulation.
Hmm. Why so many? I mean, what's your professional opinion as someone who's around birthing a lot? Do you think it does help those women in the weeks after they give birth?
Well, 10 years ago when I had my children, I didn't know anybody who did it. And then I started hearing of women who did it and thought it was really crazy. But now seeing more and more women do it, I'm definitely seeing a drop in postpartum depression. That seems to be the main area that it's affecting.
But is that a psychosomatic byproduct of it, or do you think there's some science behind it?
It could be, but you know, I work with a lot of acupuncturists and Chinese medical professionals, and right. and this is something that's been used for hundreds and hundreds of years in other parts of the world. So
these are those hippies that you hate, Ralph.
Yeah, it's the hippies.
Yeah.
The sanctuary center where you work sounds like it's all waterbeds and brown rice and Hare Krishna to me. That's what I'm saying.
No. Actually, we have quite a few. Very educated, highly educated professional people.
This is a place that where people are giving birth in a bathtub, though, right?
We do some of that, but we also work at do births in hospitals as well.
Your obstetrician's a dolphin. That's what you're telling me at your center.
Katie, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Somebody brought up that, I guess, January Jones, the original People magazine article, brought up that animals do it, and we were discussing that a minute ago. Kent writes in, eating the placenta in the wild is simply a way to not show other predators in the area that there are any baby animals around to eat. And that's the reason. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it does kind of make sense.
I don't want to leave any clues behind.
Let's try those little
bear diapers, though, must also give off the signal that there's babies.
Matt is on line two. Let's get a dude's perspective on this, although I suspect you have a crazy wife that you have to tell us about, right, Matt?
She's a big holistic advocate, so I wouldn't say she's crazy, but probably better in that sense, going
hippie.
To old school.
Hippie. Okay. What's the deal? What's going on?
Well, we had a home birth last May, and then she had her placenta grounded up into pills for herself because we didn't have the baby vaccinated. So in that sense, it would boost her breast milk, pump whatever back into her breast milk to give back to the baby. So I was sick, and we ran out of medicine for me at home. And she's like, oh, babe, just take my placenta pills, and it'll boost your immune system and help you out. Like, you got to be BSing me, right? And she's like, no, I'm serious, take it. So I took it, and lo and behold, a couple days later, actually helped me out.
Wait a minute, you had a cold, and a couple days later, your cold was gone? It must have been the placenta pills.
Science.
Get your kid vaccinated. Will you do that for us if you take nothing else away from this conversation? Matt, I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything else after you said that.
No, that's bad stuff.
Oh, get off my phone, hippie.
Seriously, Matt. All right, call us when your kid gets polio then. Thank you very much for the call. Let's take one more. This is Jessica. She's on line seven. She's got another use for placenta that I've actually heard before, but I'm glad you called, Jessica. What's going on?
So I'm at the hospital, and my midwife asked me what do I want to do with my placenta, and I was like, what do people normally do with their placenta? And she said that most people throw them away, but you could either eat it or you could plant a tree with it. So I decided to save it to plant a tree with it. The only thing is that I haven't gotten around to planting the tree yet. So it's in the freezer at my mother-in-law's house right now.
Yum. Can't wait for Easter dinner when she actually pulls that out instead of the brisket.
And she goes, wait, what's this sauce? Let's try this. This looks delicious.
Why do you plant a tree with it? I don't even stand that.
Well, it has nutrients, like plant food, you know, but this will be like a natural way. And then also I thought it would be a good idea, like that would be like my son's, you know, tree with the whole placenta.
But how is it your son's tree if you don't get around to planting it until he's like 14?
Well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
No, sure. We believe you. Yeah, you sound very committed.
You did rush right out to it. All right, thank you for the call. Let's make a pledge right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. No more placenta talk for a while, okay?
We saved Olivia's, and I'm going to ground it up and have my wife snort it later today.
Oh, no. I know what you're thinking. Now that you guys have talked about women who eat their own placenta, the show has peaked, right? There's nothing more you have to offer coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Well, you're wrong, because actress Gillian Jacobs is going to be joining us from TV's Community in just a few minutes. Also, a brand new Internet Roundup and Dr. Drew on the show later on today. Hey, Mr. Movie Phone, Russ Leatherman, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How goes?
Are you laughing because you just heard the reference to women eating their own placenta?
Yeah, it's really, why do that to the listeners?
Did you have breakfast yet?
No, and I'm not going to eat for a couple days now.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Apparently lots of people do it, not just crazy January Jones. Mr. Movie Phone, as you know, he's Mr. Movie Phone and also Mr. 6 Second Reviews. And he is, as far as I'm concerned, the best goddamn authority on what's going on in the motion picture industry, because he tells it like it is. And we want to get your take and get an update on what's going on with this controversy over the Bully movie. We have discussed it quite a bit on the show recently. And there are people who think this is just brilliant marketing from the Weinsteins, and they're going to make a lot of money off a thing that most people wouldn't have seen anyway. And other people are thinking, hey, this is a serious issue in this country. This movie needs to be seen by everyone. What's going on, Mr. Movie Phone?
Well, it is brilliant marketing. I mean, no one's better than the Weinsteins, whether it's a movie for an Oscar campaign or just publicizing a movie that may not otherwise get a lot of publicity. And you could certainly argue that this whole R rating versus PG-13 is a publicity stunt. Right, I can tell you I've seen the movie, and the movie is devastating. I mean, if you have a kid that's in school, as a parent, you need to see it, you need to watch it with your kid, you guys need to talk about it afterwards. But I can tell you I've seen the movie, and the big cry is that there are a few F-bombs that are thrown in the movie, and the Weinsteins and the studio saying, hey, we want to keep it real, right? So we've got to keep those F-bombs in there. I can tell you that with two or three bleeps, those F-bombs, everybody knows what the kids are saying. It makes no difference on the impact of the movie to kids, to parents, to people in schools who are seeing it. So it is a bit of a manufactured marketing campaign, a publicity campaign. But all I can say is that if it helps, whether it makes the Weinsteins money or not, whether if it helps bring awareness to the bullying cause, then I'm all for it.
So the Weinsteins, it sounds like you're saying, are kind of drawing a line in the sand that doesn't need to be drawn artistically, and they're doing it for commercial reasons and to drum up exactly conversations like this one on the radio.
Well, I think it's exactly right. I heard you guys talking about it yesterday. Celebrities, Kim Kardashian, Justin Timberlake, on and on and on, are tweeting about it and talking about it. But I don't know that it will help the Weinsteins in their quest to make money for this movie, right? Because even with AMC theaters now, who are saying, we're going to let kids see it if they bring a permission slip. Mm-hmm. Okay? First of all, I don't think the movie is directed at kids. I think you were even saying, Bean, you know, really, who's going to want to go see this? Are the bullies going to go see it? Are the kids who are being bullied going to go see it? It's, you know, when you can release the Kraken or go watch Bully, what are you going to do?
Absolutely. Right. I mean, this would be pretty low on. Look, kids don't want to see documentaries in general, and they certainly don't want to see documentaries like this, I don't think. I think they'd much rather go see something that's entertaining.
Yeah, no question. So it's all about the marketing campaign. But I can tell you that, as, believe it or not, a victim of bullying personally.
Mm-hmm. You, Mr. Movie Phone, was a victim of bullying?
It's actually incredible, and it's why I've taken part of the reason I've taken such an interest in this movie, and I'm really trying to talk to anybody who will listen about it. When I was 14 years old, I was from Southern California. I was from L.A., and my mom and dad were divorced, and my mom took my sister and I to a little town called Buffalo, Wyoming, a town of 4,000 people in Wyoming. Well, I was, you know, obviously the long-haired surfer California kid who shows up in a tiny cowboy town.
Mm.
The first day I arrive to school, you have to go to the nurse's office. I go to the nurse's office. I happen to have some freckles on my forearms, right? They accuse me of being a heroin addict.
Oh, my God.
So all of a sudden, I was the California kid who's a heroin addict in this town. And the other part that about what happened to me and what really strikes home in the movie is it's all about being different, right? It's not about, like, I was the coolest kid there was in Southern California, but I was very different in this little town in Wyoming. In fact, all of the cowboys' girlfriends really loved me, but all of their boyfriends wanted to kill me.
Wow.
And I'm not making that up. I got out of a car one day. I was told that this guy was looking for me, that this guy was going to – he was hunting me down because his girlfriend, who had been hitting on me and I had ignored, I wasn't paying any attention to, so she told her boyfriend that I had hit on her. I was hunted for what seemed like months. One day I got out of my car at school, turned around, and this guy had taken a running start and just cold-cocked me, just knocked me out, sent me to the hospital. There was no, the school didn't do anything about it. There was no police report. In fact, the kid then threatened to literally kill me if I was to go to the police to talk about this. So I had to continue to go to that school literally in fear of my life until I graduated high school.
This is shocking to me only because I didn't see this story coming, obviously, Mr. Movie Fun. I've never heard you talk about this before. But my question was going to be, and I think you may have just answered, is bullying has always gone on in high schools. It always will go on. But it sounds like what's changed now is how seriously we take it up to school administrators and parents and everybody else. There's a lot more awareness of how deadly it can be now, right?
Well, that's true. And that's why I'm all for the Weinsteins and this, you know, ratings publicity stunt, because we have to be aware of it. First of all, schools should have a zero tolerance policy with bullying, right? Like, if there's somebody who's a known bully and there's some evidence that some kid is being bullied, that kid needs to be taken out of school. Parents should have a zero tolerance policy with schools. Mm-hmm. Parents, if you know that your child is being bullied, you got to go to that school and you've got to talk to them about it. And if you don't feel like there's doing something about it, you have to take responsibility for your kid, and you have to remove them from that school. I, as a matter of fact, you know, to this day, as you can tell probably by my voice, harbor some resentment to my mother, who insisted I keep going to this school, knowing that my life was threatened.
They just told you to man up. It's just kids being kids. Just man up, get in there, and move on, right?
That's exactly right. And it's taken on a whole new face with obviously cyberbullying and, you know, the extent that kids will go to. But so I guess the point that I'm trying to get across is, parents, if you're out there, you got to talk to your kids. You got to listen to your kids. Go see Bully with them. Take your kids to see the movie. Talk about it afterwards, because ultimately the schools aren't going to be responsible. We need to try to make them more responsible. You are responsible for your kid 24 hours a day, and you got to make sure they're safe.
Do you think it would be a great idea if it were possible, and if the schools could get past their fear of somebody being offended by a bad word, would it be useful to have this movie screened in high schools, like at assemblies?
No question. But it doesn't shed a particularly good light on the schools, right?
Yeah.
Because it shows that in the movie, it shows, you know, a couple administrators who really don't take bullying seriously. They don't have time for it. They don't have the resources for it. So I don't see, you know, schools really embracing this movie. Although I wish that they would, because like you said, if you had a group of school kids, like if you would show it in the classroom, kids could all of a sudden sort of take a more empathetic view towards maybe the kid that they know is any sort of bullying, whether it's verbal or emotional or physical or whatever, might have some added empathy. And they might watch out for those kids a little more, or go to the principal or talk to somebody if they feel like some kid is being bullied or in danger. So I'd love to see it in schools. I don't think we're going to see a ton of that because, again, it doesn't shed a great light on it. But, you know, and as far as the Weinsteins go, after it has this theatrical release, and it's going to go into more cities in 2 weeks, there's a way that we can all see this movie. There's a little invention called the Internet. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, yes. if they really want people to see this movie, then let us see it.
Yeah. 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 No, I hear you. Yeah. There's certainly no, there's no barrier anymore to get material out to people, no matter where they are, how far flung their community is. You're right. Listen, before we go, and this is the voice again of our friend Russ Leatherman here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is Mr. Movie Phone. You can follow him on Facebook at Mr. Movie Phone or 6secondreviews.com on Twitter at 6secondreviews. Here's the last question I have for you, Russ, and that is, did you save the names and phone numbers of any of the bully kids in Wyoming so that when you made your first, like, $100 million, you could call them up and say, what's up?
Well, no, I didn't. In fact, I didn't even go back to the high school reunions, right, because I felt threatened. But that's a good point. Again, one of the reasons I'm talking about this is I was a strong personality, right? I was able to get through this, to survive it, to become relatively successful. I want kids to know that they can do that, right? That if you're getting bullied, you can get past it, and you can sort of move on and do great things. It's part of my mission.
Well, it's a very powerful first-person account. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. And Bully comes out in theaters tomorrow. Thank you so much for the time, Mr. Movie Phone. We'll do it again soon.
By the way, P.S., Wrath of the Titans kind of blows.
Okay.
Thanks. Not a surprise.
Later, guys.
Bye-bye,
guys.
Russ. Ralph, what about Gillian Jacobs from Community? What about her?
What about her and her hard G?
What about her?
What about her and her odd hard G?
Well, she does seem committed to that, I guess.
Gillian.
She's going to be joining us coming up right after the news here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited. You know, every week we're trying to have somebody on from Community. We're trying to do our part to make sure that show stays on the air and gets good ratings. So this is week three of our tribute to the beautiful TV show Community.
I know. We're like the Paley Fest of radio.
Gillian joins us coming up here on K-Rock right now. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some passes to give away to a very special advanced screening of American Reunion. This
Yay!
Is the sequel, one of the sequels, to the very popular American Pie film. There was American Pie 2, then American Wedding, then a bunch of strange little movies that were tangentially related to American Pie. But now the original cast is back together again for American Reunion. The movies and theaters everywhere, Friday, April.
Will Glenda be there?
I haven't checked yet. I'm going to give Glenda a call and see if she'll be
check
there.
Check her schedule.
Friday, April 6th, the movies and theaters everywhere. On April the 5th, however, at the ArcLight Pasadena, we're having a very special K-Rock advance screening. I've got five pairs of tickets to give away. If you have the answer to my trivia question, you're going to need to know a little something about the cast of American Reunion. Jason Biggs, star of the American Pie franchise. That is true.
Oh. Is that not the question?
He started out as a child actor and got his big break, actually, on a TV soap opera.
Hmm.
What soap opera was Jason Biggs on that catapulted him into the high-pressure, live-on-the-razor's-edge world of show business? 1-800...
Girth?
It was not Girth, no. Wasn't the short-lived soap opera Girth.
A lot of stars came out of Girth. I thought maybe Biggsy was one of them.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five through with the correct answer. Boom. Get yourself a pair of passes to the advanced screening of American Reunion. While we're talking about television shows, Ashton Kutcher and John Cryer, according to The Hollywood Reporter, are currently in negotiations with producers of Two and a Half Men to do another two seasons of the show. Even without Charlie Sheen, the show is still a top 10 comedy, and they would like to continue it. However, Kutcher was just signed on for one season. I believe Cryer's deal may be up, so they're trying to renegotiate with those two actors to get them returned for not one, but two more seasons of the popular sitcom.
Do you know anybody who watches that show?
No, but I didn't know anybody before.
Right. And it's that odd CBS zone that people live in, where there's a ton of people watching a lot of shows on CBS. I am not one of them, and I don't know any of them, but it's...
You're right. You bring out the ratings every week, and we go NCIS, and Without a Trace, and there's Cold Case. There's just one right after another of these CBS shows that are incredibly popular, Rules of Engagement, that we just don't know anyone.
Maybe they're ashamed, and they don't admit it.
I think it's flyover state
there's
television.
There's a swath in the middle
of
the country.
There's a big chunk of America that likes their... TV like they like their chicken pot pies. Just crusty and warm and comforting.
I'm so hungry right now.
Same thing over and over.
Chicken pot pie is the white trash of foods.
It's maybe the best food there is.
It's the ass of foods.
It has everything in it.
If you wanted to give food an enema, chicken pot pie is where you'd put the tube.
Oh, why? Because I can make a delicious
chicken. It has potatoes. It has vegetables. It has that delicious, like, fluffy crust.
Bake it on a pie.
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Just eat the chicken, the vegetables. Why do you need the pie?
Because it's all so yummy.
If you would eat all those same things separate on a plate, what's the difference if you put them all together?
Because I don't need to bake it in a pastry crust.
Why not?
Oh, because it tastes better that way? No, God because forbid. It's just like a trashy way to get it all down. I'm
going
to take all the good stuff and envelop it in cake, and then I'm just going to eat the cake, so I don't have to taste any of the good stuff.
And what's wrong with cake on top of all that other good stuff? It's a win-win. You're taking something that's awesome, and you're making it even more awesome.
Well,
I got a back bean on this one.
Seriously.
Sure you do.
And you know, Ralph, it originates as an Irish dish, so...
You know why? Because the Irish were just poor dirt farmers, and they would take everything they had and they would just throw it in a crust and bake it, and then it's the only way they could choke it down. we've evolved past it. Just saying.
Wow, someone's a food snob.
Keep it. Keep it. Your heart will thank you.
Well, I can't argue that.
You can't. Maybe a big lard crust and throw some taters in there. Everybody very excited about the Dallas reboot? I know you are. Dallas, returning to television. Dallas.
No. Are they trying to get this on the air before Hagman dies?
For those of you who aren't familiar, Dallas was a TV show, and it was wildly popular. Back when Millard Fillmore was our president.
Yes, the 1980s.
Larry Hagman played J.R. Patrick Duffy is Bobby. Sue Ellen is Linda Gray is Sue Ellen.
Do you know any of these names, people?
They're all returning. And there's a brand new cast of the next generation of Dallas family members that will be joining. Jordana Brewster, Jesse Metcalf from Desperate Housewives. It's a big, big cast. Well, they are unleashing their promotional campaign this week. There's a big cast photo with all of them in the shower. Get it? Because that famous scene where Patrick Duffy came out of the shower and revealed an entire season of the show was nothing but a dream. Because they killed him off, and he said, oh, I want to come back to the show. And they said, oh, how do we do that? Let's have him come out of the shower, and then it'll all be a dream.
Okay.
So they got that going for them. They're back, and no, you're not dreaming, says the poster.
Oh,
woo!
Wow.
Woo! Dallas! That's
a terrible idea.
Yeah.
It is a terrible idea.
How's Taco Bell going to make any money off of that?
That's a great question, too.
Yeah. And the good news is Will Ferrell was on Conan O'Brien last night. Well, actually, he wasn't on Conan O'Brien, but Ron Burgundy came on the stage and started playing some jazz flute. And the next thing you know, he was making this announcement to all of us at home.
I want to announce this to everyone here in the Americas, to our friends in Spain, Turkey, and the UK, including England, that as of 0900 Mountain Time, Paramount Pictures and myself, Ronald Joseph Aaron Burgundy, have come to terms on a sequel to Anchorman.
Oh. Anchorman 2.
Great news.
Coming next year. I'm very excited. Cannot wait. That means Ricky Bobby 2 is just right around the corner, I hope. Today's celebrity birthday. Oh, let's get to my trivia question before we move on. I think Jenny on line one was the first person through with the correct answer. Jenny?
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Jason Biggs got his big break on what TV soap opera?
As the World Turns.
As the World Turns is correct. Congratulations. You're going to go see the special advanced screening of American Reunion. Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Congratulations also to Jennifer and Melissa and Ernie and Anne, who also had the correct answer. Today's celebrity birthdays, Eric Idle from Monty Python's Flying Circus and many other projects. Funny, funny, talented guy. 69 years old today. Christopher Lambert from Highlander is 55. Perry Farrell, Pornos for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 53. Model Elle McPherson celebrates her 49th birthday. Lucy Lawless from Xena Warrior Princess is 44 years old. Jessica Chastain from The Help celebrates her 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Give me a little community, would you please? What's more awesome than Community being back on the schedule on NBC Thursday nights, Lisa, and also doing well? How about them apples?
I am so happy for them because they really deserve it.
I was very nervous. I'm one of those guys who gets very invested in my TV. Don't take away my stories. And then when the good shows that I like get canceled, it is heartbreaking. I almost can't go on without my imaginary TV friends. That's why we're happy that Community is back on tonight with another new episode at, I want to say, 8 o'clock on NBC. Hi, Gillian Jacobs.
Hi, how are you?
Your TV's Britta. It's so exciting to have you. We have been doing our small part, and I know that the reason Community is back on is because you have crazy fans who just will do anything. They'll shout from the mountaintops about how great your show is, right? I mean, they're the reason you guys are still on the air.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're like a little marketing army that we deploy, and they're just amazing. They're relentless, and they're so creative.
Yeah, it was very exciting to see how much they came out in force for that first episode back on March 15th, and the ratings turned out to surprise, I think, even the most optimistic Community fans. I mean, they really turned out, and the message that we have been trying to pound out to our listeners is watch the show live. Can you explain why that makes a difference, whether they watch the show live versus DVR it?
Well, you know, we're still under this very strange Nielsen rating system, and in order for you to be counted as a viewer, you have to watch it live. And I know it's not how everyone watches TV anymore, but, you know, we're still kind of operating under this old system. So to ensure a fourth season for us, please watch the show live. Tell your friends and family to watch the show live at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, even if you got something else on at 8 o'clock, go ahead and, you know, DVR that one and watch
DVR
this one live.
That and watch us live. We would so appreciate it. We'll hug you through the internet if you would please watch the show live.
Those are the worst kind of hugs, by the way, the ones that come through the internet.
I know as a guy. That's all we can offer.
That's all you can do, right? Well, I just want you to know that 2 weeks ago we had Allison in here, and she was so much fun. Last week we had the dean stop by. Jim Rash came in, and he was a blast. So today we're having you, and we're setting up some sort of a community chain where each person that we have on every week to talk up the show, now they're responsible for handing out the assignment for the next person. So your job now, Gillian, is to get us something for next week. You got to get us a person to come in for next week.
Okay, awesome. I'm excited to have a mission. I love a mission. I will work on that as soon as I get off the phone with you guys.
We appreciate that. So it's got to be so weird. I mean, was there a period of time where you didn't know whether the show was coming back at all and you already had filmed a whole bunch of episodes that might not even have aired? Did it get to that point?
Well, I mean, thank God they're all coming back now. But for a while, we were calling it the world's most expensive web series because we really didn't know if they were ever going to air or not. You know, and we didn't take a break from shooting. So we just kept right on through and finished our 22 episodes. But we really, you know, had no idea when they would be back on. We didn't know until after we actually finished shooting the entire season that March 15th would be our return date. So it was like, will these be the last episodes of Community? Will they be the most expensive web series ever, or will we ever make it onto the air? And we're so grateful that we're back.
What kind of TV is floating your boat personally, Gillian? Besides Community, what else are you watching that you love?
I love Eastbound and Down. I'm watching that obsessively. Life's Too Short, another show on HBO with Warwick Davis and Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant.
So uncomfortable.
I know. I love those kind of shows. I love that show, The Comeback, that was on HBO with Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so uncomfortable, and my mom actually couldn't stand to watch it because it made her so sad. But I love that humor that really rides the line between just humiliation and comedy. What else have I been watching? All the NBC sitcoms I love.
Well, yeah, of course, you got to put in a plug for NBC. But it's so funny. I was really interested to hear where your answer was because all three of the shows that you mentioned star really unlikable people. Selfish people, clueless people, people that I don't think you'd want to hang out with in real life, but there's something about, I mean, you never, in a million years, you wouldn't go on a road trip with the real Kenny Powers, right?
Hell no. No, I would cross the street to avoid the real Kenny Powers, but he's an amazing, compelling character on TV. You can't stop watching him, even though I hate everything that comes out of his mouth.
Yeah, I feel that way about Californication, too. That show is just so filthy for the sake of being filthy, and it's so depraved, and like everything that happens, you go, these people couldn't be any worse, yet something keeps pulling you back. It is weird how the mind works.
Well, we love an anti-hero. I think we love it in movies, and we love it in TV, too, and I think sometimes I feel like Britta is something of an anti-hero, where everyone, you know, she says she's the worst, she's the buzzkill, she ruins everything. But I think hopefully people have grown to love her, despite the fact that she's like a humorless,
killjoy.
Yeah, she really is. And it is so funny. And one of the things that's great about this show, and I think you've made this point in interviews before, is it's set in a community college, but these characters that we've fallen in love with, and there are so many of them on your show, we could put them in any situation. They could be next door neighbors. They could work together. It doesn't matter. The school is just a backdrop. But the layers that you guys keep peeling back on all these characters, like a couple weeks ago when Britta woke up and realized that one day she's going to be a housewife, and that's everything that she hates about herself, but she realized it's her destiny and she can't do anything about it. And just to watch you work through that on your face and just play it out is just so much fun for us, the viewer.
Oh, thank you. You guys are so nice. I wish I could come to your show every week. This is like an ego boost talking to you guys.
Look, this isn't one of those deals where we're hopping on the community bandwagon because it's fun. We've been talking up your show since day one, and we've been friends with Joel on this program. He's been coming in on our show for 15 years or something, so we couldn't be happier for him. But the message is being very clear, delivered to the Kevin and Bean Show fans right now. Watch Community tonight at 8 on NBC because this is the kind of television that needs to stay on the air. Do not let this one go away. Don't let this be the show that you used to love and now it got canceled because you didn't do your part. And you can you can check it out tonight on the TV, and you can follow Gillian on Twitter at Gillian Jacobs. It's very entertaining. You're welcome anytime, my dear. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, and I can't wait to meet you guys in studio next time. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a deal. Good luck. Bye-bye. Looking ahead toward tomorrow's show, by the way, from Game of Thrones and the new Mirror Mirror movie, we'll talk to actor Sean Bean. You like him, right, Lisa?
I love him.
Also from the LA Galaxy, for Kevin, Robbie Keane is going to be joining us. Friday means the movie beat as well. Next week, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but there's an announcement of interest if you enjoy summer concerts with lots of bands playing on them that you hear on K-Rock.
Oh, you're so coy. I don't know what that means.
I can say no more. But that announcement coming next week as well here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, the Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. This is our station voicemail. You can call and leave a message for us any time of the day or night of something you have, maybe a comment of something you've heard on the show, something you want to contribute, something you want us to know. You've got an opinion, but you don't have time to call live. For instance, the discussion we were having yesterday about Casey, who works here on the show, about her aversion to same-side sitters, people who sit next to each other in restaurants instead of across from each other, apparently as the good Lord intended. This caller has an opinion.
Hey, you know what pisses me off? I hate it. When the morning show that I trust to amuse me on my drive-in spends two breaks with some dumbass bimbo with big because she's pissed off about sitting in the same side of a stinking
I think he is more worked up over the discussion about same-side sitters than Casey is about the same-side sitters.
It is possible, but people were very passionate. I was shocked.
They really were. Here's a list. You may be saying what a lot of people are thinking when they saw that video that we put up at krock.com of Alicia Silverstone, who feeds her baby by pre-chewing the food in her mouth and then putting it into her baby's mouth.
Hey, this is about you guys talking about Alicia Silverstone eating the food and puking it in her son's mouth. That's disgusting. Even for birds, it's disgusting. And some Lori Caposeta is gross, too. No one needs to hear that.
We are disappointing him with this show this week. Here's a message for Ralph.
Ralph says he loves him some Peter. Watch Fringe because he loves him some Peter. Ralph, he loves you some Peter.
Here's a fan of K-Rock's Kevin, who is out today.
I need my Kevin back. Where is my Kevin? Bean. You suck, Bean. Bean, you suck.
Hey! A lot of reaction to the... you can also go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com to see... We put stuff up all the time, by the way. You can win tickets to April Foolishness with the Scion IQ test on the website right now. We got the Pro Wing Girls interview yesterday, the video we talked about from Alicia Silverstone, and the Tenacious D has a new video out. That's up at krock.com right now. But one of the things we were talking about in the trailer that we put up was for the new Three Stooges movie, and that's what this guy's calling about.
Am I in on the Three Stooges movie? Totally.
Very nice. Beer Mug, you'll be happy to know you have not been forgotten with the Afro calls this week. Here's a call just for you. Whew.
Hey, you know what would improve that Duff McKagan interview? If Beer Mug did it. And so let me ask you a question. I'm a drummer, and I just got to ask. why are you so good? I don't know.
That's pretty accurate. If Beer Bug is ever sick and can't do a red carpet for us, we may just hire that guy to do you. That's pretty close. Here's a guy that not only is a fan of you, Muggs, but is supporting you in your effort to lose 30 pounds in the bet that you made.
Okay, Mug, here's your weigh-in.
1 point.
Here's your weigh-in, Muggy Mug. You just weighed in at 1 pound.
221.4.
Oh, Mug. Mug, Mug. Mug, you are a fat pig. You are a loser. You will never win this contest. Give it up.
Oh, you'll see.
That's the kind of inspirational help you need, though, from the listeners to power you on, though. Right, Muggs?
Yep.
We've been talking a lot about our favorite new internet sensation. He is the rapper Gillionaire. He sings a little bit of this song. Let me play you a clip.
I'm the best. I'm the best.
And this listener apparently is also a big fan of the Gillionaire.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
I have no idea what that word was. And finally, not only a Gillionaire fan, but apparently a big fan of the Kevin and Bean Show, too. Listen up.
You're the worst. You're the worst. You're the worst. Bum, 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 bum. Kevin talks like he's been doing drugs. Then a terrible interview by Muggs. Being so creepy, I start to feel sick. Lisa has one place she won't let me lick. You're the worst. You're the worst. You're the worst. Bum, 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 bum.
Like that.
You give us a call anytime at 323-520-AFRO. Leave us a message. You might end up on the next edition of the Kevin and Bean Afro Line. A quick break in the new internet roundup for you coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Way to go, Jessica Saldana from Anaheim. You were listening to the Kevin and Bean Show and just won tickets for the Unity Tour with 311 and Slightly Stupid at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. You can keep listening to score your tickets and passes to the exclusive backstage barbecue with both bands. Get those details at krock.com. By the way, I always like to mention the people who win, because the first time my name was ever on the radio was when I won a radio contest in the middle of the night. And it was such a thrill for me to hear my name when I won a prize. No one cares about this story.
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
How about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup then?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Live so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I tried to put a tiny piece of myself out there for people. Try to share a moment that meant something. It changed my life to hear my name on the radio for the first time. And what do I get? Nothing. Just dead silence.
It's just a terrible story.
We got a great batch of Internet Roundup videos up for you, like we do at KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com. Producer Dave is in studio. You're the mastermind behind this feature. You're the guy who put these together. We got a couple we want to mention before we get into the audio, including describe little Bodhi who falls asleep while skiing.
Well, this guy rivals me because he's skiing and he just goes to sleep, and
his parents
are talking to him, and then he just falls and still sleeps.
It looked like what happened is he was at the end of a run, Lisa. So he was like maybe waiting for other people to come, or they were, you know, gathering up to leave or whatever it was. So he's just standing out there on his skis, and he looks like he's about, I don't know what, 4 or 5 maybe, something like that.
Yeah, he's a young kid.
And of course he's buckled into his ski boots, so he just falls asleep standing up, and they're talking to him and kind of making fun of him a little bit. And eventually, and please watch to the end of the video because it is so funny, eventually he does just fall backwards right into the snow.
Oh,
so
that's funny.
Also, it doesn't take long these days before, so, you know, anything hot that happens on TV or on the internet, it is instantly remixed. And this Jessica Paré from Mad Men, who plays Mrs. Don Draper, she did that little French dance song, that Zou Zou, the other night on the show.
She did.
Instantly, there are dozens of videos where people have taken that and intercut it with other things. Like there's one where she's dancing to Jack Nicholson from The Shining, for instance. But there's a very funny one that Dave found that we put up at KevinandBean.com where somebody has made it look like she's doing that performance instead of in the Draper's living room. She's doing it in front of Jean-Claude Van Damme in some bar. And he's dancing like crazy in the thing. And it's hilarious. And they've intercut it so as if he's doing that dance, you know? So check that out. All right, videos we have audio for. You guys are going to love this. At Ultra 2012, which I guess what, Dave, is a big dance music festival.
Yeah, in Miami.
This girl is so high that she's not just making out with, she's making love to a tree. No kidding. You've never seen anything like this. Listen up.
up. I know, bro. Don't slap the tree. Killed it. Yo, the tree wants you.
Oh, my God.
And she is just going for it. I mean, it is a seduction that's happening what she's doing to that tree. And these, you know, she's so stoned or high or something.
She's high on something. And she's fighting with the tree. It's like she makes out with the tree. It's crazy.
It's awesome. And these guys are all doing play-by-play as they're filming her. I wonder what she thought about that video when she saw it later. Here's a, well, it's almost Coachella time. As you know, it's just 15 days away, and we're still giving away tickets every afternoon at 5 here on K-Rock. But here's a video. Is this Funny or Die where they're making fun of the hipsters?
Yes, sir.
She is a Silver Lake hipster, and she's just really she's too hip to be too excited about all the great Coachella stuff she has in her future.
I don't even know who's going to Coachella this year. I mean, everyone sucks. It's like Snoop Dogg, more like Poop Dogg. Radiohead, more like Garbage Face. All right, guys, that was it. That's the unboxing of the Coachella 2012 tickets. If you liked it, click like and share with your friends. And if you didn't like it, f*** you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know the hipsters. Nothing can ever be cool enough for them. They have to hate whatever it is. Tim Tebow, as you know, was traded from the Denver Broncos to the New York Jets this week. In his press conference, you can imagine that he's excited, right, Lisa? Of course,
oh, yeah.
He's excited to be playing in New York, the biggest market there. He might have mentioned that he was thrilled, that he was amped, that he was pumped. There are a lot of words that he could have used, but no, he only chose to use excited. I'm not sure how many times in his press conference.
So excited about being a Jet. Yeah, so excited about it. And I'm very, very excited about it. I was really excited. I'm excited. I was excited about it, and that would be exciting for me. And so I'm excited to be a Jet, and I'm excited to be here. And I'm excited. Exciting thing. It's just exciting.
The total count was 44.
In what, like 5 minutes?
Yeah, and one power.
Unbelievable. Muscle Douche is what this one is called. Originally, I thought this was a Psycho Mike video when I saw that it was up. But this is a guy who is just, he's one of those guys who's pumped himself up to a freak show. I mean, he's a bodybuilder, and okay. He just looks ridiculous. And man, does he love him.
Huge arms, baby. Do you want to lick that huge biceps? I know you do. What we got under the t-shirt? Oh, yeah. Ripped abs. Look at that. Nice muscle.
Oh, my God.
Who is he making this video for, Dave?
I have no idea, but all I know, he ends it by squeezing a watermelon with his thighs, and it breaks it.
Yeah.
He oh, that's impressive.
Is that his real accent, too?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
This mineral water, it's Earth Juice. What's this? Is this a parody of some real product?
It's a commercial for an Icelandic mineral water.
Really? This is a real thing, and this is how they're selling it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going to want to buy some of this. Listen up.
Pitotas mineral water comes from the depths of Earth. Birds and fish haven't had a chance to poop in it. It's poopless. Fluoride's good for digestion. Digest bricks, leather jackets, British cuisine, Icelandic cuisine, and this goat on a boat, which is probably a popular dish in Icelandic cuisine.
We need whoever made that commercial to start making commercials for American TV, because that is awesome. Jimmy Kimmel did a very funny piece on his program. He was talking about the 6-year anniversary of Twitter, and he thought it might be fun to have celebrities read unflattering tweets about themselves, because, you know, they're real people too. And here's how they took it.
Yo, at Kevin_Nealon, you suck fat.
Will Ferrell's a fool. That's a compliment. That one I can tell is a compliment. I'm a f***ing fool. Look at me, yo. I'm a f***ing fool. Thank you. Thank you.
So funny. And who tweets Kristen Bell that she's ugly? Come on. Don't say mean things to Kristen Bell, right?
I know.
Blind.
Jerks.
Very funny celebrities on that. Speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, as you know, every week he does This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. He bleeps things that don't need bleeping, and that makes them absolutely filthy.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
She is a lover of c***. She and I, of course, love c***.
Don't let your children get in the habit of sucking on.
They will f*** him so loudly, God will hear it in heaven.
Will you please talk about f***ing budgets?
It's time for everyone who's 21 or over to whack your
And once again, as we close this week's Internet Roundup, I don't know how people do it, but they managed to take, for instance, President Obama. Last week we had the real Mitt Romney, where they edited together all of his speeches to have him sing that Eminem song. But they have decided that they're going to take speeches from Barack Obama and make him sing I'm Sexy and I Know It. Yes, it's as ridiculous as it sounds. Here's a little piece of that.
Look at that body. Look at that body. I work out when I walk in the spot.
This is what I see. Everybody stops and staring at me. I've got passion in my hands. And I'm afraid to show it. Show it. Show it. Show it. I'm sexy. And I know it.
It's insane. Like, how do people have the time to do these things?
I love that.
You can see all of these videos and so much more, including an archive of every Internet Roundup we've ever done. It is the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. You can find it right now at krock.com.
Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup.
Mega Millions jackpot. Over $500 million for the drawing tomorrow night. Ralph, you've already said
I'll
you're
going to settle now for half of it.
That's your plan.
They just give me half. I'll just settle now.
That's oh, you won't even go out and buy a ticket if they just give you half
right.
now?
Exactly. Wow. We can save everybody all the trouble.
Well, we're going to talk to a lottery expert, and he can claim to be an expert because he has won 7 big money jackpots. We'll talk to him in less than 30 minutes. He's got tips on how we can increase our chances of actually winning that big lottery tomorrow night.
Can't win if you don't play.
I've heard that. Yeah. Actually, I've heard that's true. You, yeah. And you got to be in it to win it, too. That's true. Thing that I've heard.
That's what I hear.
We'll find out when we talk to him coming up here. Plus, Dr. Drew right after the top of the hour. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday.
Speaking of winning, tell me more about other radio contests you won when you were young.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Remember stories?
Come on. I was peeling back a little personality there.
I first heard my name on the radio when I won a radio contest.
It was a big thrill for me. It had a huge impact on me.
I should kick
excited.
Your ass for wasting my time.
Yes, I'm sorry. I was just excited.
That's all right, mate. Will Ferrell took some time out of his busy schedule to drop by Conan O'Brien's last night. Broke out the old Ron Burgundy costume. Here's the thing. He did Ron Burgundy in a movie. I don't know how many years ago that movie came out. It's got to be 8 years ago?
Yeah,
7
probably.
Years ago?
Yeah.
And he falls right back into character when he's on Conan last night. Just pitch perfect. Ron Burgundy came out playing the jazz flute, first of all, and then made this announcement to Conan's audience.
I want to announce this to everyone here in the Americas, to our friends in Spain, Turkey, and the UK, including England. That as of 0900 Mountain Time, Paramount Pictures and myself, Ronald Joseph Aaron Burgundy, have come to terms on a sequel to Anchorman.
Oh. That is good news for everybody who likes to laugh.
Oh, yeah.
And he, Mr. Burgundy, is still with the Channel 4 Action News in San Diego, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Which, of course, as you know, means whale's vagina.
I've heard that, yeah.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. Love it. Bobby Brown got a DUI last Monday, but Sissy Houston, his ex-mother-in-law, couldn't care less. Sources close to Sissy tells TMZ that she thinks her daughter's ex was a cancer that infected her life with negative influences. That's kind of harsh words, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't imagine him being a positive influence.
No,
though.
Don't get me wrong. He didn't help her situation at all. But,
no.
It is Bobby Christina's dad, after all.
True.
Oh, wait a minute. Keep her away from him, too, now that I think about it. Lindsay Lohan! Back in the news, she's going back to court today for what could be her final court date.
How about that?
And by final, I mean, you know, for a couple months. Mm-hmm. If she keeps her nose and other body parts clean, she will have her probation ended today. That's the formal supervised probation. Of course, for the next 2 years, she'll be on informal probation. Until May of 2014, then following that, it'll be casual Friday probation. You get to wear culottes.
Look, is there anyone who doesn't think she's going to get in some sort of additional trouble after this? She's going to get arrested for something else, right?
She does seem like a magnet for trouble.
She did the morgue thing, though, with enthusiasm.
Right.
The work that she had to do there, that really impressed me.
I think she's desperate for a career comeback, too, and that might be motivation enough to keep her from...
But she can't stay out of clubs.
Yeah, that's true.
She can't stay out of clubs. She can't stop drinking. She can't stop. Part of it is not her fault that everywhere she goes, she's surrounded by, you know, the phalanx of cameramen and reporters.
Yeah.
And that causes tension and trouble. But I can't see her turning her life around. I just would be stunned if that happened. I hope it does.
I heard she's already committed a crime. She's going to be guest starring on Glee, which is a crime against entertainment, of course.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She's trying to get back in the public eye in a positive way. So I support her. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Eric Idle. Always look on the bright side of life. Is there a funnier musical comedy number in all of moviedom?
It's great.
69 years old today. Christopher Lambert, Highlander. 55 years old. Perry Farrell of Pornos for Pyros and Jane's Addiction turns 53. Elle McPherson, supermodel. She still looks amazing, by the way, at 49 years old. John Popper of Blues Traveler. He was the singer harmonica player who weighed at his peak as much as beer mug. That's what I've heard. That's what I heard.
I think you're right, around 400.
Yeah.
No, I've
He's
never
45
weighed,
years old
never
today.
Never weighed 400.
We did a breakfast show with Blues Traveler back in the day, Ralph. I don't know if you were with us then or not.
Oh, you want to give me the run around. Remember that song?
We did it at Cantor's, right over there at Cantor's. And I had serious concerns that Mr. Popper was going to survive the broadcast. He was so fat. He was just one of those guys that it looked painful for him to walk, to stand, to sing, to breathe. I can't believe he's still alive, frankly.
Well, he did the gastric bypass surgery.
He eventually lost a lot of that weight, did he?
Yes, he did.
Oh, good.
Lucy Lawless from Xena, Warrior Princess, and Battlestar Galactica, and Spartacus is 44 years old, and Jessica Chastain from The Help celebrates her 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Don't forget, Coachella in just 15 days. More tickets you can win this afternoon at 5. Details at K-Rock.com on how to do that, but I'll give you a hint. It's as easy as picking up your phone and calling in when they tell you to. Speaking of picking up your phone, Dr. Drew joins us every week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Doc?
Good morning, Bean. I'm good.
Always great to have you on, sir. I'm especially happy that we have you today because of these two crazy stories with women in the news doing crazy things with their kids. Let's start with your friend Alicia Silverstone.
Ah, yes. And mind you, these are not just women. These are celebrity women.
So right.
They know better. They know best. They have infinite wisdom, don't you know?
Well, celebrities are better than regular people, Dr. Drew. Let's all agree on that, first of all. There's a video that was going around. We've got it up at KRock.com of her chewing food and then, like a baby bird, like you do with a baby bird, putting that food in her infant son's mouth.
Yeah.
And she says that's normal and natural and it's a good way to do it. And I've heard all sorts of opinions on this about how, hey, it gives the kid good enzymes and all sorts of things. But I want to know from a real-life medical doctor what's going on here.
The enzymes, the amylase in her saliva, believe me, that child has. And if she's trying to mimic a bird, let's be fair here, there are digestive enzymes the mother bird is giving by putting the food into the stomach and then regurgitating it back. So literally, if she's going to do what's natural, she needs to vomit all over her kid. She needs to vomit in his mouth and then have him consume that. That is how ridiculous this is. If you want to know how animals behave, look at our primate class. Do you see any primates vomiting into each other's mouths anywhere in nature? Anywhere? This is so ridiculous.
Wow. Is it harmful to the child, doctor?
What's harmful is watch the video and the poor child. The child looks like she's like violating him in some way. He's like his hands are up in the air like he's being skewered. There is a boundary problem here. Children need to have autonomy. There needs to be a separation between mom and child at a certain point. And this kind of continued bizarre behavior, this child will live to hate her as his mom, no doubt.
Really? Interesting to hear you say that.
Are you kidding? Not only that, though, what kills me about things like this, and I know you have another story along these same lines, is please, people that are celebrities are often, more often than not, I would say the vast majority, people that maybe didn't finish high school, probably didn't go to college, and are claiming infinite knowledge because they've read a couple of books. I mean, sorry, Tom Cruise, but there is something to training and education and teachers. They serve a function. They serve a function. I'm not saying people aren't bright. They may be bright, and they may be, and they may, without training, have lots of good knowledge. I'm not saying everybody does know what they're doing, but a lot of those people you watch on television and you think they're smart because they play a smart person on television are not so in real life.
But what I don't understand is what the need is to pre-chew your food and put it in your baby's mouth when there are millions of options of appropriate food for babies of any age that you can buy that are healthy and good for you, and there's no reason not to, right?
I'm just saying vomit in your child's mouth. Do what's natural.
Okay.
Vomit it.
Story number two that you referenced, we had a whole conversation with our listeners, and we talked to a bunch of them who have done this. January Jones, the actress who plays Betty Braper, Don Draper's ex-wife on Mad Men, did a People magazine interview where she said part of what got her past those baby blues and gave her some pep in the first few weeks after she delivered her child was that she took her placenta and turned it into vitamin capsules, essentially, and just popped those whenever she felt down. Is there any science to that, Doc?
I think she made chips out of them. And being certainly you eat potato chips and you've heard of pita chips. Why is that such a reach, placenta chips? Why is that such a reach?
What's happening here with eating your placenta? We talked to tons of listeners who've done it.
Who've done it? Huh.
Yes.
Well,
let me just say this, Doc. We had on a midwife who works at a place in Los Angeles who says 80% of the people who she assists giving birth eat their own placenta.
I gotta go.
Come on, you're a doctor. Nothing grosses you out.
I'm far less outraged by this than the Alicia Silverstone. There is evidence of, now talk about what's natural, there's evidence of women eating their placenta after birth, or the so-called afterbirth, in many different cultures through anthropological literature. I mean, it's out there. People have done this. I don't know if it's some sort of, there may be some motivational urge associated with it. It may be a way of, you know, retaining resources and resource. You know, if you're about to have, you're having a child and you need to have as much resource as possible and you may not be able to have access to protein, it makes some sense. They actually would, you know, they'd cook it. They'd actually, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just raw placenta.
They prepare it, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, these people did in some way or other.
Right. And so, okay, I get it. But in modern day culture, it's not such a necessary thing. But God bless them. God bless them.
Okay.
This one I'm not making fun of quite as much as I did.
They're not going to ruin their child or anything.
No, they're not going to ruin their child. And if they want to do this, it's just gross. And okay, whatever. That's up to them.
Okay. It's gross, but you don't see medically, you don't see any kind of a downside.
There's really no problem. And maybe one day we'll find some upside. So I'm holding my tongue on this one.
Okay.
I know that you listen to the show from time to time as you're running around in the morning, Dr. Joe. And I guess you weren't with us today when we were talking to the placenta eaters. But we had a guy who called in and said his wife ate her placenta and that the baby was born at home and that they would never vaccinate their child. And I was thinking, oh, I hope Dr. Drew's listening right now.
There's a celebrity that promotes that, isn't there?
Yes, there are many. And that gentleman is a public menace. This is again, people don't understand. The two greatest advancements that medical science have brought, the reason we're living till 80 and not dying in childhood, is sanitation and vaccination. And the fact that there's now this increasingly growing pool of unvaccinated children, you're going to see children die. And until people see that, I guess they're not going to get the message. But the bigger problem is, because they're going to become a basically a culture dish for virus, it's going to infect kids that maybe are partially vaccinated, who have done their due diligence but aren't adequately vaccinated because of the sheer volume of virus that's now going to be available for certain illnesses. It's going to be bad. And it really breaks my heart that people are doing this. But people are having to get really hurt. And no one ever sees this. This is the problem. People don't see people die in this culture. And until you see a lot of children dying, then they're going to get the message.
See, this is why Dr. Drew is out there doing what he's doing. Love Line airs Sunday through Thursday night, 10 to midnight here on good old K-Rock. Look for him weeknights at 9 or 6, depending on when you're watching, on HLN. And Dr. Drew, Life Changers, every afternoon at 3 and 3:30 on the CW. Thanks, Doc. Have a great week. We'll do it again. Bye-bye. Got my first very nice addition there, Ralph. Thank you. Got my first email. I was expecting this, that the lottery's attacks on people who don't understand math is what Tim says, who has a PhD in mathematics, by the way.
Well, yeah, we get it. We know that the odds are 1 to 175 gillion.
Right.
We get it.
You want to be a gillionaire if you win, though.
We get it. But the thing is, every time they do this, somebody wins it.
Right?
Yes. Yes. You're absolutely right. You're a damn fool for the $20 you spend if you don't win. But to the couple that's living in Wichita tomorrow that finds out that they're $500 million richer, all of a sudden they're not so foolish for paying a dollar to buy a ticket, right?
Right. Or the family that lives in Studio City tomorrow that finds out they've won.
Well, they won't. That won't happen.
That'll probably happen is what I'm saying.
Right.
And then when the showbiz beat is quiet next week, you'll know why. That's all I'm saying.
But will we see you driving around in the original TV's Batmobile
if
you win this money?
Yes. Launching rockets out of the three pipes in the back, directed towards a certain island in the Pacific Northwest.
It would be interesting. It's a shame Kevin's not here today because he's quote-unquote sick.
Yeah, but it happens to be his birthday, by the way, and I forgot to mention it all day long.
Yeah, what about that? How's that for coincidence?
During the celebrity birthdays, I forgot to mention it was his birthday, and he's sick today.
Oh, guys, I don't think I can make it tomorrow. I don't think I'm going
to
be feeling well.
A lot of gumballs.
But the reason I wish you were here, and he'll probably be back tomorrow, we can discuss this. Who would live the least amount of time after winning a $500 million jackpot but Kevin Ryder?
Absolutely.
Within 3 days of cashing that first check?
What about Beer Mug?
I think I'd die, the next day.
Really?
I don't think you'd make it 24 hours.
No, maybe not. Well, it's a good problem to have, is what to do with all that money, so... Good luck. The drawing
Thank
is
you.
Tomorrow
I
night.
Appreciate that, and I'll let you know what I do with it. I'll Ralph start some here. Sort of foundation.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. Ralph is here with one of his final showbiz reports. You better enjoy this. Enjoy this one right now. Enjoy the show tomorrow, because it could be the end of Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
It's going to be some sort of foundation for the rehabilitation of adult film actresses. Teach them new skills. So when they're done with that profession, they can move on to other lines of work.
Excellent.
Some sort of halfway house.
Wow, you do care.
I do.
Would you just run that yourself?
Well, I like to be hands-on in my charity.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, Lisa, so much money in charities goes towards overhead and staff and stuff. So if I can cut into that at all, that means more cents on the dollar goes to the charity.
I'll give to your charity, Ralph.
I bet you would.
Your plan would be to show them how not to enjoy sex anymore so they wouldn't be tempted to stay in the business?
No. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? I don't like Paris Hilton.
Obviously.
And it turns out that her celebrity status may be waning, which I'm happy to hear. New York Post reports she rolled up to a Miami nightclub with five cars full of her friends.
Those are not her friends.
No, they're not. They're on the hangers-ons, yeah. But they were ready to make their way inside the club. And security said, whoa. Who's got a ticket for the event? Turned out Paris had one, and there was only a couple others. So all of her entourage got turned away at the door, except for Paris. And the one person she made sure got special attention
her
and
best
got in.
Friend?
Her personal photographer.
Oh.
Because nothing happens in Paris Hilton's life unless someone's there to take a picture of it.
Sure. And make sure she has good lighting.
That's right.
Right.
That's hot.
She was dancing in the DJ booth and he was snapping away and the rest of the hangers-on were outside in the car with the windows cracked. Like,
like little dogs.
Like little Pomeranians waiting for their owner to come back out again. That makes me happy. Now they can just start denying her entrance. Then everything,
life is good,
everything will be everything.
We want her to be miserable, but she does still have hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But we don't have to see her, do we?
No, we don't.
Ashton Kutcher and John Cryer, currently in negotiations with the producers of Two and a Half Men, according to The Hollywood Reporter, to do not one but two more seasons of the show. Here's the thing. According to insiders, there are no raises being offered to the cast members. That will likely not go over well with the two actors, and so this will probably begin protracted negotiations after the show wraps its season finale, which is filming this coming week. So once they're done with that episode, I'm sure they're going to buckle down and make their demands and go back and forth, and we'll see whether we get to more Two and a Half Men or not.
What would we do without it, Ralph?
We would be a little sadder, that's for sure. Trayvon Martin shooting still in the news. Horrible, tragic story about the youth in Florida who was shot by the neighborhood watch captain. It's causing headaches for 20th Century Fox, which just happens to have a summer comedy due to release called Neighborhood Watch.
Dang.
Trying to be sensitive to the case, Fox has pulled all of its promotional materials for the comedy from theaters in Florida.
Oh, just there?
Just Florida.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So no posters, no trailers, what have you. And the state of Florida will be without its teasers for Neighborhood Watch, at least for the time being.
Yeah, I could get that.
They should hire George Zimmerman to do some interviews on their behalf.
Oh, man.
Maybe carry a big sign out promoting when the movie opens.
No, that would not be good.
Not a good idea.
Good idea. Movie stars Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, and Jonah Hill. Although it has nothing to do, no similarities whatsoever with the case. It's about an alien invasion that a Neighborhood Watch group stumbles upon. They are still trying to be extra sensitive to the Trayvon Martin case. No word yet on what they're going to do about Ben Stiller's next film, Night at the Holocaust Museum. Wow, whether they'll be pulling that stuff.
That's a tough marketing
that is.
Chance
right
gonna,
there. How are going to sell that? That's what I'm asking out loud. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our very own Kevin Ryder celebrates his birthday today. I reckon he's knee-deep in hookers and cocaine by now.
Yep.
That's what he does every year.
That's how he parties. Eric Idle from Monty Python is 69 years old today. Christopher Lambert, or Lambert, depending on how you say his last name.
How snooty you want to be.
He's Highlander and a bunch of other stuff. He was Tarzan, too, I think, if I'm not mistaken. 55 years old. Perry Farrell of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction, 53. Elle McPherson, 49 years old. John Popper of Blues Traveler is 45. Lucy Lawless.
We'll see you soon, mate.
Christina Warrior Princess is 44 years old. Jessica Chastain. How she went from playing women's soccer in the Olympics all the way to being an actress, I have no idea. I am so impressed by her range. She
could
do
different,
so
different
many.
Woman. Different woman. What? Separate Chastain. No, that's not right.
She was from The Help, 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks, mate. And speaking of soccer.
You're welcome, mate. Anytime, mate.
In the unlikely event that Kevin survives his birthday today and returns to the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow, we are going to be interviewing Robbie Keane from his favorite team, the Los Angeles Galaxy. Now, if Kevin is not with us tomorrow, we may not be speaking with Mr. Keane. But both of those things might happen on tomorrow's All-New Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
Also, we're going to talk to Tim Goodman from The Hollywood Reporter. He's got a preview of some of the exceptional television. You know, you feel like we're right in the middle of the season, but in fact, there are lots of shows, Game of Thrones is a perfect example, that haven't come back yet, that people are so excited about. So we'll kind of get a catch-up on the TV landscape, because it's almost getting impossible to keep track of when some of these shows come back anymore. It's not as easy as it used to be, where there was like one week that they all showed up at one time.
September, you knew it was going to be new shows, and then the summer, there was nothing new.
Right.
Very simple.
Reruns.
So we'll talk to The Hollywood Reporter. Sean Bean joins us tomorrow. What a great actor this guy is. Speaking of Game of Thrones, of course, also Lord of the Rings. He's in the new Mirror Mirror film that opens up tomorrow. We got him on the program tomorrow. Also, Ralph, this won't affect you because you already have the plan on how you're going to win the lottery. But tomorrow we are going to be looking for Kevin and Bean listeners and what their strategy is, how they're going to try to win the Mega Millions. There are people who buy a certain number of tickets, people who have a plan on which numbers they use, or, you know, they have superstitions that help them win the lottery.
Hogwash, I say.
That's what you say?
That's what I say.
So we'll talk to them and find out what their plans are tomorrow as well. And I think that's it.
Ready to go out with a bang, Chief.
Well done. So see you tomorrow. Thanks, mate.